Hey, I do want to remind everybody that the Guy James Show is a listener-supported program. So if you'd like to keep this show on the air, go to our website, www.guyjamesshow.com, and throw a few nickels our way. That's right, it doesn't take much, just a little bit from everybody, and we'll be safe and sound and on the air each and every week for your enjoyment. Once again, that's www.theguyjamesshow.com. You can donate right on there, and it'd be much appreciated.
In the northern town of Beiji. The same area, a roadside bomb exploded, wounding four American contractors employed by a Florida security firm. This is ABC News.
Get ready for the holidays with huge savings on pet foods and treats at PetSmart. Hurry in to save up to 20% on hundreds of your favorite brands like Pedigree 44-pound bags, just $13.99. Fancy Feast cans, just 38 cents. And 16-ounce value pack of Greenies dog treats for only $14.99. Save big on other popular brands like Iams, Dog and Cat Chow, Jetta Bones, One, Pro Plan, Beneful, and many more. These huge holiday savings are going on now for a limited time only at PetSmart. Offer good while supplies last. See store for details.
Okay, who put the Denerex in my shower? Joe?
Wasn't me, Dad.
Sally?
I think it was Mom.
Guilty as charged. Come on, hon. Your dandruff was back again. I thought it was time to stop messing around with those other shampoos and start using Denerex.
If you've used dandruff shampoos that didn't work, you're ready for Denerex. Denerex penetrates deep down into the scalp to control dandruff and leave hair looking healthy.
Dad, your hair looks good.
Always listen to your mother.
Are you finally ready for Denerex? Use as directed.
This is it. Duncan's Diamonds is having the greatest Christmas sale ever. Everything in the entire store is specially priced right now, including our huge selection of diamond earrings starting at just $99. Christmas will be here before you know it. So now's your best time to buy quality diamonds and the most fashionable jewelry at unbeatable prices. At Duncan's Diamonds, you'll be amazed and you'll find five times the selection of a typical jewelry store. Buy selected diamonds at New York wholesale prices. See our collection of previously enjoyed Rolex watches. This Christmas sale at Duncan's is the biggest ever. You can open a Duncan's charge account and save with fantastic holiday financing plans available during this gigantic Christmas sale. Now's the time to save. It's all happening right now at Duncan's Diamonds. Don't miss it. Everything in the store is specially priced for our largest ever Christmas sale. You'll find selected diamonds at wholesale prices, and you'll find the best styles and designs. Duncan's Diamonds in Fort Myers on U.S. US 41 in Port Charlotte at the Town Center Mall.
Wholesale pricing index, Rappaport Diamond Report, Volume 27, Number 26.
Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader. Wink News.
Starling County.
Digging deeper.
The debate over who won is just beginning.
Going further.
That's why police begin to clear off the streets.
More people are being taken under.
Getting answers.
Henry County, Arcadia, Fort Myers.
Wink News. The team you turn to.
Towards the Southwest Florida coast.
The team you trust. Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader.
Child obesity rates in the U.S. are increasing at an alarming rate. Proper diet is essential for weight control, and 5 servings of fruit and vegetables each day can make a positive impact. Fresh peaches, plums, and nectarines contain vitamins A and C and potassium and fiber. Parents can help children achieve a healthy diet.
I love it when my mom gives me fresh fruit. It's fun to try her smoothies. And I like it when she makes peanut butter sandwiches with peaches, plums, or nectarines instead of jam.
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Zantai. So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
You lost it.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good afternoon. Glad to have you along with us this afternoon. It's a, kind of a dreary day here in Florida. It's not sunny. It's not too, you know, it's just kind of one of those overcast days. Probably about 78 degrees out and, you know, one of those days. Kind of a funky day here. But I hope it's nice where you're at today. Here in the land of the blue waters and sandy beaches, we don't make a big deal out of the weather most of the time, but at least we don't have any snow. I know some of you up north do. Oh, yeah. I heard from my brother the other day. Got 6 inches of snow. You can keep that. Well, anyway. So glad to have you along with us this afternoon. All of our friends on the Internet, on the Democratic Underground and Democrats.com and SmirkingChimp.com and all the Democratic-type websites. We are so glad to have you along with us. And along with our friends here locally in Lee and Collier and Hendry and Charlotte counties, my, oh my, what a busy, busy, busy time of year. Have you got your Christmas shopping done? I don't. Now, you don't want to tell Mrs. James about this, but I tell everybody every year, you know, I'll do my Christmas shopping about, Friday morning. I've been kicked out of stores on Christmas Eve many a time. I don't know. I just don't get into the spirit until that last day or two. I must like that frenetic madness that takes place that last day. Crazy, isn't it? But I always seem to get done in time. I don't have to do my shopping at 7-Eleven or like some friends of mine did one year. You remember that Steinfeld episode where they had to go out shopping at, yeah, it was a convenience store, one place or another. Anyway, I digress. We've got many things to talk about today. You can call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. I think we've got our technical problems ironed out with our phone, so we should be all right with that. We worked with the Sprint people this week to get that ironed out, and I hope it's all ready to go. We'll soon know. We want to talk about a list of things we want to talk about today. How about this Billy Towson and his new job, Alberto Gonzalez? We'll want to cover that. And, of course, we can't let our old friend Bernie Kerik off. There's more news about Bernie. And something I don't really want to talk about, but we're going to have to. All my friends on Democratic Underground and Democrats.com, you're going to know what I'm talking about. We're going to have to talk about the Bev Harrison, the black box voting situation. A lot going on there. And, of course, our good friend Mr. Rumsfeld, and last night, Bill Moyers, last show of the year. My God, am I going to miss Bill Moyers? I certainly will miss Bill Moyers a tremendous amount. What a guy, Bill Moyers. But lots to talk about. Of course, our friends in the White House never seem to disappoint us, always give us something to talk about. And, you know, we are going to be moving here locally. You folks on the Internet, I guess I'll tell you right now, I just mentioned it last week, we're going to be changing times on you. We're going to be on from 7 to 10 on Saturday evening. 7 to 10 Eastern Time. We will not be broadcasting next week. We will not be broadcasting on New Year's Day either. But on January the 8th, we'll come back bigger and better than ever. Probably bigger after all that holiday food, huh? But anyway, we'll come back bigger and better than ever, and we will be on two local stations here, Wink 1240 AM and WNOG 1270 AM here in Southwest Florida. We'll expand our coverage by a tremendous amount, and we're excited about that. And all of our Internet friends, there will be no best of shows. In fact, I'm not sure exactly what's going to be in our time slot, but, well, the Internet folks won't have to worry about that. But for the next 2 weeks, we will not be on the air, Christmas and New Year's, and we'll come back January the 8th. So get your books out and write that down. I want you all to know that. And this is our last show before the end of the year. And, you know, it's been quite a year in American politics. Quite a year. And I think, really, it's been the worst year for America in my lifetime. And I'm not a young pup either, but it has been the worst year for America in my life. There's no question about it. The list of notable events is really too long to mention during this program, but there's been one huge story after another, many of them pointing out how totally inept is this Bush administration. You know, we're involved in a war in Iraq that's now cost us many, many hundreds of American lives and about 10,000 wounded, a couple of $100 billion, and the contempt of most of the Iraqi people. You know, we're now the object of ridicule around the world because of the lies told to get us into the war. We're the target of vicious hatred by hundreds of millions of Muslims around the world because, well, frankly, because of the slaughter of 100,000 innocent Iraqis, that hasn't helped the situation any. We've got a budget deficit, which is, well, it's a runaway freight train. Unemployment's going up. Jobs are being sent overseas for the bottom line for these huge corporations. The American dollar plunging in value and is in real trouble. I hope some of you might want to talk about that today. We've got millions upon millions of Americans with no health care at all. What else? A president wanting to raid the Social Security Fund for about $1 trillion so his fat cat friends in Wall Street can get even fatter. The list goes on and on and on and on. This year, it's one political horror story after another. And after all of these terrible things, 59 million voters cast their lot with Junior Bush. And I guess some things just can't be explained and are better left to... Well, better left to history to judge their merits. But, as I've often said during these last 2 years on the air, I absolutely believe that this administration will go down in history as the very worst in our nation's existence. I have no doubt about that at all. I'll stake my reputation on that. But for my listeners who don't agree with my assessment of this administration, I'd like for you to try and put yourself in the place of the 56 million of us who are, well, we're so vehemently against the policies of George W. Bush. Just for a moment, forget the Republican and Democratic parties. I promise to, if you will. You know, forget about being on the winning side. Try and open your eyes to what we're trying to show you. Take Donald Rumsfeld, for example. Well, yeah, yes, he is an easy target. But try and take an unbiased look at his actions in running the war. You know, he asked the Pentagon generals what was needed to prosecute a successful war against Iraq, and he got many answers, but all of them suggested many more troops than we eventually sent. All of them. And all of them wanted a significantly higher number of troops. You know, you've seen them all over TV. Almost all of them have said that. But Rumsfeld, no. He wanted to do it with as few as possible so he could make it look like a no-muss, no-fuss war. Get it over with real quick with little loss of life and a small expenditure from our treasury. He went against everything the military suggested. He got his way. And look what we've got over there now. You know, surely you can see the terrible malfeasance of this man. Surely you can't defend his not sending the proper troop, proper Humvees with the necessary armor to protect our troops from the slaughter that they're now enduring because of Rumsfeld's decision to do it on the cheap. Surely you can see that much, can't you? Can you? You know, forget about politics. Forget about that for a moment. The money has been appropriated. The producers of the Humvees and armors say they can produce more right away, but hadn't been asked up until this past week. How convenient. You know, we're having young men and women come home minus arms and legs at a record rate. You know, if you had been in Rumsfeld's place and nearly a couple of years ago, your generals and your field commanders had pleaded for more armor for soldiers and more armor for the Humvees they ride in, and you had the money, he's admitted the money's there, what would you have done? Be honest with me. What would you have done? Don't you think any decent human being would have taken every possible step to see that the proper armor was delivered? But if it was you, and you did nothing, and we had soldiers killed because of it, and hundreds of soldiers came home permanently mutilated, disfigured, and scarred for life, God, how could you live with yourself? But, you know, if you're going to be truthful, and I hope you will be if you call, you would not have neglected the problem like Rumsfeld did, would you? No, of course you wouldn't. I would bet a lot that nearly 100% of those Republicans hearing my voice right now would have acted to save those soldiers' lives and to save the survivors from a life of misery and despair because of horrible, unspeakable injuries. I bet you all would do that, but not Donald Rumsfeld. And yet we've got a commander-in-chief who looked at the situation and said Rumsfeld is the right man for the job. That's the equivalent, in my opinion, of, who should we say in history, of President Ulysses Grant giving a pat on the back to George Armstrong Custer. It's about the same thing. And if that weren't enough, how about the medals given to Bremer and Tenet this past week? Were medals ever given to two more undeserving individuals? We had Tenet, who said that WMDs were a slam dunk. We had Bremer, who was a total failure in Iraq, who time after time and, you know, underestimated the Iraqis when logic told all of us not to underestimate them. And how about opening your eyes for a minute and taking a good, honest look at our domestic problem? You know, the drop in the value of the dollar and the tremendous peril that puts this country in. And how about the deficit that nobody wants to talk about? You know, I'm hearing formerly conservative politicians and friends tell me now that, oh, the deficit really doesn't matter. Can you imagine that? It really doesn't matter. You know, I'm hearing them say another round of tax cut is fine during this wartime. I'm hearing common man Joe American say it's fine for the richest Americans to have more tax cut while he gets his own reduced. You know, I just want you to look behind the facade of the Bush administration, cut through all the Christian right stuff, look past the curtain and see that the Wizard of Oz is not what he seems to be. He is a man who really doesn't know where we're going, but you've trusted him. I want you to search your soul and help the rest of us understand. We don't. We don't understand, and we really do need to. We do. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, good afternoon. And I'd like to say good afternoon to Diane, too, and best wishes to her. She'll probably call in later. You know, I saw Moyers last night like you did, and I copied one thing down he said, that news is what powerful people want to keep hidden. The rest is publicity. And it's just so true, and that program, if people didn't see it, they still got an opportunity to see it Sunday. These medals you talk about, they've made them worthless. When I saw those three people getting them, maybe Franks deserves the medal, I don't know. But they've certainly diminished those medals.
Yeah, what do you get for doing a good job?
I don't know. But I used to see those medals being awarded, and I thought, yes, those people deserve that. And this is the first time I've ever seen these given, and I know Bremer doesn't deserve it, and this crazy guy with the slam dunk and the CIA, he certainly doesn't deserve it. We wouldn't be where we're at. Of course, maybe I should give him a break, because I think the administration only looked at what they wanted to look at and only used, in fact, they used false information to get us into this war. And it's a shame, as religious as the president is supposed to be, he didn't go to Rumsfeld and read Luke 14, chapter 28 to 32, and it basically says, don't start something you can't finish. And I had a friend who used to gamble a lot, play pool. I never would play with him for money in any game, because this man never played if he couldn't win. And he picked games he could win, and he always won, and he was great at doing this. And this is what you have to do when you take your country into some battle like this. You've got to be sure you can win. And it's just a no-win situation. But what I called about was the fair tax. I've heard this Neil Bortz twice, for some reason, on our local radio station, talking about this fair tax. And then I heard some guy on an overnight show talking about the fair tax and how they'll eliminate the income tax, and then they'll tax goods at 23%. And, of course, the price of these goods won't go up because there's a built-in tax of 23% that corporations have to put in there, and they'll take that off. And I thought, I started laughing right then, because, you know, they're not going to cut the price of their products. They're going to leave that figure in there, if it exists at all. I don't know that exists. And then, of course, for people of lesser means that can't quite make it, they're going to be able to apply to the government for checks each month, which I started laughing even harder, because Republicans like to have a lot of things, but they don't want to pay for them.
That's right.
And what goes on in our tax system right now, people that earn under a certain amount of money don't have to pay any income tax anyway. Now, they're not. Oh, and I think, yes, if they have children, they're given money. You may know more about that than I do. But I've heard that they're given checks for the number of children they have and so forth. So when they're in a financial stress or they're, I don't want to call them poor people, I call them people of lesser means, they're getting help from the government now that the Republicans are grousing about and don't want to have done. So how would this fair tax work? And of course, the other part was even more laughable, that it's on new stuff. You buy a new car, you're going to pay this 23% tax. But if you buy a used car, you won't have to pay it. Well, I'm not going to buy a new car, I'll buy a used car. Well, that means General Motors isn't going to be making as many cars, because if a lot of smart people like me are just going to settle for used cars, there's not going to be a demand for new cars. Same with houses. The building business will suffer terrifically. Am I wrong here?
No, you're not wrong here. I heard Neil Bortz explain that, and after it was done, you know what my response was? Huh? I listened to that, and it really, I talked it over with a couple of friends of mine this week, and they're going, you know, I don't get that at all. Of course, he makes it sound ultra simplistic. The libertarians usually do.
Well, and you know, I've dealt with Social Security. There's got an office in town here. Whenever I have a problem, I go over there. I can't afford an accountant. I go over there. They're very nice. They're very helpful. I have gotten letters where I've owed them, and sometimes I've gotten checks because I overpaid. But to malign this agency and try to make it seem like some demon agency, yes, they have their problems. I'm sure their policing side can be very bad. But it's an agency that I think is very helpful, and you've got to pay for what goes on in this country. And when Neil Bortz and the rest of them start talking, I'm wondering why instead of this fair tax proposal, they aren't saying that this income tax should be removed completely. It was only put on us to pay for wars. God knows we've got a lot of those, and we're going to be paying for wars for a long time, so I suppose the income tax is going to stay around for a long time. But they should be campaigning to get rid of the tax completely and go back to what our Constitution provides for, and that's tariffs on imports and exports. So, and the Social Security part, there's nothing wrong with Social Security. I heard the president talk this week on C-SPAN, and after he got talking, I did the same thing you said. Huh?
Yeah.
What's he talking about?
No, that's a scam. That obviously is a scam.
Oh, yes. If people, well, as we talked last week, I know a lot of people have 401k plans, plans invested with their companies, that there is nothing there or half of what used to be there, but it's not working. And then, of course, another Republican thing is we don't want to be governed. We don't want to have all these rules and regulations. But these accounts the president's talking about are going to have specific rules that you have to abide by in order to have these accounts. So there you have more government control, which the Republicans always say they don't want.
Sure. And I don't know how many people saw this in the New York Times this week, but there's a big story in there this week about how many companies are now dropping their promise of health benefits for future retirees. And I believe, I'm looking down through this here, 8% of the companies this year said they were going to drop it this year, and 11% more that said they'd probably do so next year. So we're going to have many, many, many more people out looking for insurance and retirement benefits and so forth. It's not getting better. It's
and
getting
they've
much
been
worse.
Able to do this because they've got highly paid lobbyists in Washington that are passing legislation that they can eliminate these.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank
Absolutely.
You, sir.
Thanks for your call. 888-602-7500, 7501. We're going to give 7502 a try today. We think we have that fixed. 7503 and 7504, you're very welcome to call the program today. Let's go to Steve in Fort Myers. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, guy.
Hello.
I just got an email about a protest that is being organized on a war in Iraq that is probably the easiest protest to participate in that I've ever seen come along.
Well, how's that?
They are asking everybody who is protesting the war to not spend any money, not one dime, on Inauguration Day, January 20th.
What, that's, what is that, a Tuesday? I haven't looked to see. The 8th, the 15th is a Saturday, 16th.
I have not looked yet.
I think maybe it's a Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday anyway. You know, that won't be too hard to do.
Nope. Just for one day, do not spend any money.
I could sure go for that. Now, Steve, let me ask you a question. Now, somebody brought this up to me earlier this week, and I thought, it doesn't matter what your politics are. Does it make any sense to have an inauguration for a guy who's coming back for a second term? Think of it.
Pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, the pomp and circumstance, but think of the, I forget the exact total they said to be spent on it this year, but it was a staggering number. And after all, the guy's already raised his hand and taken the oath of office, he could do that in the White House again. I think it's a waste of money.
Well, coronations usually deserve grand affairs.
And that's exactly what this one is.
Yes. So anyway, I wanted to pass that information along. It sounded like a great idea to me. Everybody can participate in it. It's real easy. Just do not spend one dime on January 20th.
All right. We'll pass that along to everybody.
Okay. Thanks, guy.
Thanks, Steve. Good to hear from you. Hey, I think we're going to pause for a break right now. Any moment now, we're going to pause for a break. I do want you to hang in there. Give us a call today, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Locally, 479-5540, 479-5540. And in Collier County, 563-6570. You're listening to the Guy James Show, and we're going to be right back after these words.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
This is Jeff. While he's sleeping, he's providing food and clothing to flood victims in the next state. This is Susan. She's making dinner now. She's also helping people get first aid, CPR, and AED training. And this is Gary. He's stuck in traffic right now. Meanwhile, he's helping to provide measles vaccinations to children in another country. Jeff, Susan, and Gary aren't superhuman. They just donate money to the Red Cross. While they go on about their lives, their donations work together, helping to fund activities that save lives. Proving that when we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. So whatever you're doing right now, you could also be helping your community to prepare for the unexpected. All with just a simple donation. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
To match your pretty eyes.
Nope. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more.
Who taught you that?
Mommy.
By 6th grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science, which they'll need for most future jobs. Keep her interest alive. For ideas, go to girlsgotech.org. It's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
Mom was having such a hard time taking care of Dad, and herself too. Now they're getting help through the National Family Caregiver Support Program with things like meals, cleaning, helping to make their home safe, and finding a companion for Dad to give Mom a break. To find help near you, call the Elder Care Locator at 1-800-677-1116 or visit eldercare.gov. Brought to you by the Administration on Aging, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Power Talk 1200. And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Guy James here with you on this Southwest Florida afternoon. Have you got your Christmas shopping done? I keep asking that. I guess I'm worried about my own. Hope my wife's not listening right now. Don't have mine done. Got to get at it. Starting Monday, maybe. I don't know. But I got to do it. Hey, 888-602-7500-7501-0203-04. 479-5540 here locally. And 263-6570. I know lots of you are locally here, out in your cars today, doing at the mall or going between one business and another, getting your shopping done or your grocery shopping done and all that. Lots of people listen. I think a lot of people don't understand just how many people listen to their radios in the car anymore. That's right. Lots and lots and lots of people listen to the radio in the car. Many. Let's go back to the phones. Speaking of the phones, let's go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Yeah, well, I don't know where you are, but here in Cape Coral, it's an absolutely glorious sunny day.
Well, you know, I'm on the other side of the river right now. It was a little cloudy when I came in.
I mean, the politics is gray, but the weather is gorgeous. And I say that for those people up north who may be suffering all the gray weather.
You know, John, it's funny. I'm sure all of our friends that live up in the cold weather climes, when I lived up there, I used to just hate it when I would call friends in Florida, like on Christmas, and they would always open up the conversation by saying, well, you know, it's about 83 degrees and we have the air conditioning on today. Meanwhile, you had sleet and snow. They always seem to do that, and you know, I found myself doing the same thing now.
Well, I'm sitting outside as we talk on my lanai. I'm not in a car, but just enjoying the glorious weather.
Ah, yeah.
I know I shouldn't say this. And if you don't cut me off, I'll go into politics.
Go right ahead.
You touched on something in the last caller that I had seen on C-SPAN, and it really riled me. We are in the time of war. We're told we should support the troops. As I pointed out to you last week, I see car after car with these wonderful banners, red, white, and blue, yellow, saying support the troops. And we're told how much we have to support our troops out there and how patriotic it is. And the time of need. And here we are, going to have an inauguration, and they gave the figure out, and yes, it's private monies, fat cat monies, $50 million. Does that figure sound interesting to you?
That'll buy a lot of body armor and Humvee armor, won't it?
$50 million is going to be spent on these parties that they're going to have for your wonderful, esteemed president.
And you know, I don't. Let's even leave politics out of it. I don't care if it were Bill Clinton. I care if it would be John. I don't care who it is. That's absurd.
Well, my question is, you just pointed out, we're in a time of war. We're in a time where this country is up against it. You pointed out the economy. You pointed out all the negatives, and you do a beautiful job on it. I have to give you credit. But here we are. Where's the spirit of sacrifice in this country when we can spend $50 million one night on parties?
That's an excellent point, John, and you are so, so right. There is no sacrifice on the part of millions of Americans toward this war. It's somebody else's war.
But where's the example of this commander-in-chief?
No example.
I mean, and yet he's having people go out there. They can never get out of their commitment, it seems. He's drafting people 50 and 60 years old with his backdraw draft. People have thought they're long since out. And they're going in, losing either life or limb, and I think, it's not just, they don't, as I keep asking every week, the number of troops we've lost seems to be disappearing. They don't give that number out anymore. And, of course, we don't know the number of the wounded. And nobody seems to really care other than putting ribbons on the back of cars.
That's right.
Am I patriotic because I put a ribbon on the back of my car? Is that the limit to the sacrifice this country is making to support troops?
John, a lot of people think so, don't they? Those little flags and those little ribbons they put on their car. I see they've got them now with crosses on. They've got several different colors and shades. And put that on, and by golly, I can drive around and I can walk around being a good patriotic American for $2 or whatever that thing costs.
Isn't it sad?
It is sad.
I mean, and I don't think this is Democrat Republican. This is a question: do we really mean this war? I mean, we have had a terrific investment of money, of lives, materiel, anything you can mention. But, I'm old enough to remember World War II as a child growing up. There was a feeling of sacrifice in those days, of everybody pitching in. Where is that today?
Oh, Rosie the Riveter, the rationing that went on, the scrap drives, the string drives, everything that people sacrifice, there is none of that. And that's why you've hit a point, you've hit the bullseye. That's why this war is not resonating with the people here in the country, because there is no sacrifice except by those unfortunate families who have lost their loved ones.
And our president is setting a wonderful example by spending $50 million on a party.
And you're raising my blood pressure by bringing that up, my friend.
Well, I think, there was a word used by a caller on the C-SPAN. I don't want to take credit. She said she thought it was obscene.
It is.
And I think it's a good word to describe it.
Absolutely.
And I think that's why we can never win this war. This country doesn't have its heart in it.
No.
The best example is Rumsfeld. I mean, here's a man who says, he doesn't care if these people live or die. He doesn't give them the tools to even protect themselves out there. I think the leadership of this country, and it has nothing to do with left-wing, right-wing, liberal, conservative, I think it's disgraceful.
I agree. I absolutely agree. The patriotic thing, I'm a patriot with my little flag, I'm a patriot with my little ribbon, and, support our troops. There's only one way to support our troops in this war, and that's to bring them home. And if they couldn't even do the next best thing by protecting them. We've got an army, we've got a military that's in place to protect us. It's there to protect American citizens. And soldiers are citizens, too. And we've not done enough to support our soldiers by protecting their lives. And it obscene, there isn't even a word bad enough for it, for what's happened here.
By the way, there was a wonderful point made on a show. It's a Saturday morning show on 970, which has a good point of view out of Tampa. Daniel Roos is the talk show host. He does a good job. It's the only other good talk radio that you can get down here. And last week, somebody made an interesting point about some of the people you talk about, namely Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and, what's his name, O'Reilly.
O'Reilly, Neil Bortz, yeah.
Are any of them, putting their bodies and going to Iraq to entertain the troops?
No, only Al Franken that I know of.
Now, does that say something?
you know it does.
You know,
but you know, John, they're doing their patriotic duty here at home by backing the president in his war.
So he can spend $50 million
on a... That's right. Well, of course, he deserves it in their eyes. He's a champion of freedom and prosperity here in America. He deserves it. And even more. They should get him a crown like they have over there in the crown jewels in the Tower of London. They should get him a crown with big diamonds in it and all and present him with... That's what he thinks he is.
I thought that was coming.
Given free rein, they would do it.
You know, I think that people have to start talking, Guy, about the lack of morality that's taking place. They talked about moral issues. I can think of no more immoral an issue, the way this war is not being supported. And putting ribbons on a car does not support the troops.
Certainly not. John, thank you so much for your call.
And thank you for the time. And by the way, we're going to miss you these next 2 weeks and looking forward to the new time change.
Thank you. You know, I got to give the coward line of the week this week, and I do mean coward. You talk about a guy trying to play both sides of the fence, Trent Lott. How many of you heard good old Mississippi's Trent Lott in his statement this week about Rumsfeld? He should quit, not right now, Lott said, but he should quit sometime this year, but not right now. Oh, I see, Trent. It's okay for him to keep getting soldiers slaughtered for a while. But let's just put it off till later in the year when he gets out. That way I can placate my Republican friends by saying, oh, I don't want him out right now. I don't want to force him out. And the people on the other side, well, you know, I said I wanted him out, but not right now. Oh, Trent, what a coward you are. You've showed us before what else you are, but you turned into a real coward on that one. I want him out, but not right now. Let's just let the super architect of this war keep on screwing up one time after another, after another, after another, and maybe he'll get out later in the year before things really go to hell, if they haven't already, and we know they have already. So, Trent, you do win the prize for, boy, the idiot statement of the week, that's for sure. Let's go to Diane in Fort Myers. Hi, Diane. Do we have Diane with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Hey, Guy. How are you?
Well, not bad.
You sound good. I was going to talk to you today about, did you see Bill Moyers' last show?
I did.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Well, Bill Moyers is...
It's kind of like a dollar late, you know, a day late and a dollar short, as we say in West Virginia. But
well, you know very well that if this hadn't been his last show already, it would have been after that one last night.
I know, but they needed to have that on about a year ago, didn't they?
Yeah. Who makes better sense than Bill Moyers? I mean,
yeah.
How could you, you know, you can't argue with his logic. You can never argue with his reasoning. The guy's right on the money always.
Yeah, this was Social Security and that. I'm telling you, what a flim-flam. People are going to be, you know, I don't know. Guy, I'm almost to the point where I say, maybe America deserves it now.
Well, I hope this good and decent country can snap out of whatever's wrong with us right now. There's something terribly wrong in America right now.
Well, every day this war is going on over there. They don't show, even on TV, the innocence that's being slaughtered by us.
No.
For what? For a lie.
You know, everybody ought to have to go to a few websites that I know about and see the pictures that are on there of innocent civilians and our soldiers.
And we're celebrating a Christmas in this country.
And like John said, a $50 million inauguration. It is obscene.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just ashamed. I'm ashamed.
Well, it makes me ashamed, too. And I got into quite a discussion with an acquaintance the other day about this and about these little ribbons on the cars. And if you truly support our troops and all that, and you've done a lot to support our troops, fine. You go ahead and put one on this car.
Why isn't Jenna and Barbara Bush over there fighting that
war?
Yeah,
well,
I mean, they're daddy's little girls. Why aren't they over there?
Completely different story.
There's a lot of women over there fighting the war that have little kids and everything else at home.
That's right.
So,
and why did they have to go over there? Because they didn't have a good job at home.
Exactly. Right. Well, to keep the economy going.
Sure.
That's all that's holding us up right now. It's a deck of cards waiting to fall.
I think so. Diane, thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Good to hear from you. Oh, it gets me so angry when I stop and think about that. And, you know, John brought up a good point. $50 million. $50 million. So he can get up there on that stand and make himself look real good to people. I tell you what, Mr. Bush, you may look real good to those 59 million people that voted for you, but half of America, Mr. Bush, I want you to remember one thing. Half of America thinks you, well, half of America thinks you're something else. Something else. And I respect the presidency. I completely respect the presidency. I had tears in my eyes the day that Richard Nixon resigned because of the stain that put on the presidency. I had tears in my eyes when I found out about the little tryst Bill Clinton had gone on because of the stain it put on the presidency. And I have really, really got a heavy heart now because this has put the worst stain on our presidency that we've ever had. The absolute worst. We have a war going on that's completely unnecessary. We've got thousands of maimed people coming back home. We don't even take proper care of them. It's indecent isn't a strong enough word for them. Let's go to Gene in Naples. Hi, Gene.
Hey, I just wanted to see if I could bring your blood pressure down just a little bit.
Go ahead.
It's at your life here today.
Yeah, it's at the breaking point.
Yeah, I can tell that it's getting to you. Hey, let's turn this into a positive for just a minute. Well, two things. First, congratulations. You're going to two radio stations now, Wink and WNOG, and that's a fabulous move. I know a lot of people in Naples can't hear the show, and this is going to really give them an opportunity to expand your audience. I know a lot of people in Naples have been wanting to hear the Guy James show and couldn't, so. You folks in Naples that are catching it here this afternoon in the north part of the county, pass the word. When's your first show on Wink WNOG?
January the 8th.
January the 8th, yeah.
7 to 10.
7 to 10 in the evening. So all you working folks now, no excuses. You can go home, listen to Guy James. 7 to 10, Wink WNOG, starting on January the 8th. That's fabulous. Second thing, Guy, I wanted to mention, get in the holiday spirit here a little bit. This coming Monday night, day after tomorrow, the Collier County Democratic Club is having its annual holiday social at Naples Bath and Tennis, and we want to invite all good Democrats all over Southwest Florida to join us. We're expecting a couple of hundred Democrats there that night. We're having a fabulous buffet of gourmet hors d'oeuvres and all kind of stuff from carving stations to, you know, who knows what all, a big cash bar. We got great entertainment from Maxine Mike's duo that has performed on the Mike Douglas show and other national shows. It's just going to be a fabulous night. Also, Guy, we're asking everybody that comes to please bring an unwrapped new gift for the Shelter for Abused Women and Children in Collier County. We want to see if we can't help those folks out and spread a little holiday cheer their way. I know they're kind of hurting for some items there. So if you can bring a new unwrapped gift, we'll have a big wrapping party and get this stuff over to the shelter to help those folks. That's this Monday night, 7 to 10, Naples Bath and Tennis Club. It's $25 a person, and it's going to be a fantastic night. So we want to invite all our good Democrat friends to try to join us on Monday night.
Well, I can tell all of our listeners that I have been to many Collier County Democratic functions, and they never disappoint.
Of course, Guy, you're invited too, but I'm afraid you might eat too much.
Well, I'll do what I can, you know.
I know you will. Hey, listen, great show, and again, congratulations on the move to Wink WNOG. Hang in there. Keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you, Gene. Great to hear from you.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
Let's move on to 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04, 479-5540 here locally, and 263-6570 in Collier County. Let's go to Easter in Houston.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, I was just calling to talk about two things, and the first thing I wanted to talk about was George Tenet and the Congressional Medal of Freedom.
Yes.
I think the real reason why he got it was just because this was a thank you from Bush for just, you know, towing the line and being willing to have so many things blamed on him.
How about a hush-hush thing?
It could be, you know.
Keep your mouth shut from now on, George. Don't write a book about me.
It could be, you know.
Yeah.
Like the highest honor in the country, you know. I guess that's a great,
yeah,
you know, gift if you, you know, to keep your mouth quiet. But the second thing I want to talk about, you kind of brought up the Trent Lott criticism of Donald Rumsfeld.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk about that, too, because, you know, there's a lot of Republicans like John McCain, Chuck Hagel, Susan Collins, and even Bill Kristol who have been criticizing him. And I'm not a fan of Rumsfeld. I think he's really a bad Secretary of Defense. But I think some of these people are really doing it only for political reasons. I don't think it's that they really care about the troops and that they care that this war has gone terribly wrong. I think with McCain and Hagel, it really is about them running for president in 2008. I think they're really just positioning themselves in a way to say, you know, I took on the Republican Party and I took on the Democrats, so, you know, hey, I'm a centrist, moderate guy, so you can vote for me.
Bingo. I think you're right on the money. Right on it.
And I think for Crystal, it's just because he's pissed that now they can't go to Iran. You know,
yeah,
they're not going to be going to Iran anytime soon. So it's like, you know, they, you know, for them, they thought, oh, we'll go into Iraq, then we'll jump to Iran and we'll jump everywhere. And so it's like, Rumsfeld kind of just messed up their whole plan for being
certainly
stupid, you know. So I don't think they really care that it's a bad plan. You know,
if any of you folks don't think these guys, and you know what he's saying is, in my opinion, it's exactly on the money. If you think that these politicians, many, if not most of them, don't think of themselves absolutely first on every issue, you're badly mistaken. And we're going to talk a little more about that later in the program, about this interview with Fritz Hollings here just a little while ago with Mike Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
Fritz told it like it is.
Yeah.
Oh. Easter, thanks so much for your call.
You're welcome.
We hope you'll call us again.
Okay, I will. Bye.
Yeah, Fritz Hollings, Democratic Senator from South Carolina, sat down with Mike Wallace at an amazing interview. And Fritz has always been known for telling it like it is. But now that he's not going to run for re-election, and didn't run for re-election after 38 years, he decided enough was enough. And just to quote a few things he said during this thing, quote, "I'm sick of raising money to get reelected, so I'm gone home to Charleston," says Hollings. And, you know, these are, as they said on CBS, insights from an insider who knows better than anyone the unhappy differences between then and now, years ago and now when it comes to money. Hollings goes on to say, "When I got up there," he's talking about Capitol Hill, "it was hardly a breakfast or evening reception. Now there are three breakfasts, three receptions every day. Now we don't work here on Fridays." And boy, that's the truth. They don't work on Mondays either. "We're going back home doing fundraisers. You got to collect money." And to further quote this interview, he says, "It's all about money. There ain't no question. At my last campaign 6 years ago, it was $8.5 million. This is in South Carolina, folks. You know, that figures out to be about $30,000 a week, each week, every week, for 6 years, says Hollings. "So if I miss a week, this time, Christmas week or New Year's week, I'm $60,000 in the hole. I got to hurry up and start playing catch-up ball." Hollings says senators spend, and pay particular attention to this, Hollings says senators spend hours a day, almost every day, working the phones to raise cash. And what's in it for him? A good government, he says, laughing. And Russell Long, you all remember Russell Long, and one of the Senate office buildings named after Russell Long. Russell Long said, "Those who give the money are getting more than good government." In other words, "I'll get access," says Wallace. And Hollings says, "There ain't any question about that. We say it, it's otherwise, but it's sort of adulterated us in a sense that we can't see everybody, so you're bound to see those who are the big givers." But does access mean his vote? Wallace says, "Not only the vote," says Hollings. "Wait a minute, it's all those K Street lawyers now and lobbyists and interest making up the legislation. and they work with staffs and everything else. The bills and the special interests overwhelm us with submitted legislation, said Holly. You know, communications defense, you've got them all. Farms, agricultural people, and everything else like that. They get their piece of the pie. That's our problem today. You can't find the real interest of the country. He went on to say a whole lot more. We may talk about that a little more. Fascinating interview. Fascinating. Let's go to John in Nashville. Hi, John. Are you with us, John?
Yeah, hi, Guy. How are you this afternoon?
Great.
Just wanted to pose a scenario for you. Man and woman go into a marriage counselor, and she has a litany of complaints about the things that she thinks are wrong with the marriage. The counselor turns to the husband and says, well, what's your response to that? And he says, well, you go into marriage with the wife you have, not the wife you wish you had. How successful do you think the rest of that session would be?
Oh, my, I hope there's no guns in the house. It wouldn't get you very far, would it?
Oh, yeah, I'm still reeling about that whole thing. It's, in a way, it's for a lifelong Democrat for myself, it's refreshing to see the rent that I knew was going to be coming within the Republican Party. But on the other hand, it's kind of disturbing to see it, too, because I think men of good faith in either party are hurt when their fellows start to show some of their malevolent tendencies. Like we heard, I mean, it was one of those rare candid moments that I'm sure that if Rumsfeld had to do over again, he would make sure that it never happened. But it was just one of those chance things in which we saw the bald face of ambition.
Oh yeah, and John, you know very well that if the jackals get Rumsfeld down and start chewing on him a little bit, there'll be a chorus of Republicans join in then for political reasons. Once he becomes damaged good, the Republicans who've been backing him all along, knowing what a rotten job he's been, they'll jump on the bandwagon too.
Yes, and then of course on the other side you've got the neocons who are going to. I mean, at least you got to give them points for consistency.
Oh yeah,
stay in and defend them. Although the reason, I mean, it turns reason on its head, some of the arguments that are being made to support what they've done and what he said. It's really, I mean, there must be logic professors all over this country that tear their hair out when they listen to some of these neocon talk shows, because what they do with logic and the way they'll take a piece of fact and then arrive at a conclusion and all the steps in between, it's fascinating. It's amazing.
Well, there ought to be a course in college called Straw Man 101, because these guys are they're good at it. They're really good at it.
Yeah, this sounds so convincing. You can imagine, it's hard for me to imagine them actually sitting there with straight faces while they're doing it. It's probably good that they are on radio while they're doing most of this stuff. It must be awfully hard to get through an hour of TV in the evening and have to do the same thing and actually look like you believe what you're saying. But just kind of to wrap this up, it was one of those, it staggers me, the whole thing with Rumsfeld, because, again, it was one of those moments where all of a sudden the spin doctors, it was unscripted. Somebody got off message, off script, and all of a sudden you saw a truth revealed.
Yes.
And it was good that we saw it, but it's frightening.
Absolutely.
When you think about it.
That's exactly what it is. It's frightening. You hear things like that come out of it. It's just like the comment that Bush made a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years, almost 4 years ago now, that to me was frightening, but I knew damn well he meant it. And the Republicans said, oh, he was just kidding when he said, nothing wrong, and I'm paraphrasing now, nothing wrong with a dictatorship as long as I'm the dictator.
Yes, yeah.
I think that was a moment of truth as well.
Yeah, yes, indeed. I mean, they might be able to write that one off as a joke, whether one agrees with that or not. But this thing with Rumsfeld was a Kodak moment for this administration.
Sure was.
One that I'm sure they wish would go away very soon.
Well, I don't think it's going to. I really don't. It should not. Thanks so much for your call, John.
Thank you, Guy.
Great to hear from Nashville, Tennessee. As I always say, one of my favorite towns. You know, the show is supported by donors who listen to the program, both here and on the Internet. And I always like to acknowledge some of our friends that are generous with their money. Eric Peterson, David Goggins from out in Eureka, California, William Sherrill, Ralph Edmondson out in St. Louis, Preston Enright, Mr. and Mrs. Harold Schechter in Fort Myers, Elizabeth Harlow, Virginia, and Elaine Miller, both of Newton, Iowa, Barbara Presnell, Robert and Sable Wright up in Durham, North Carolina, Larry and Judy Golinski in Naples, Florida, Ryan Vith, Martin and Michelle Kazar in Chicago, Illinois, Bill Beaumont, William Sherrill in Syracuse, New York, John Coolidge in Portland, Maine, Luciano, your city. We just heard from Luciano this week.
Hey,
and
Kenny,
thanks,
open up.
Thanks for the nice
note that
went along.
As an all-pro running.
Okay, and we got Johan and Marie Charles in Fort Myers, Florida, Mr. and Mrs. Arnie Arneson, Gene Legg in Valley City, North Dakota, Mr. and Mrs. Tom Sir, the Welshels of Moultrie, Georgia, Mary Ann Stottermeyer, I killed that name, didn't I, in Murdoch, Florida, Chris Kern in Hudson, we just heard from Chris this week, thank you so much, Chris, Carolyn Wyatt of Madison, beautiful Madison, Wisconsin, with Lake Mendota up there and all, and Danielle Mosher of Bethesda, Maryland. Thanks so much for your support of the program. It helps keep this program on the air, and we feel it's important or we wouldn't be here, and obviously you think it is too, or you wouldn't send in your generous donations. Hey, it's coming up to the top of the hour right now. I want you to know that you are listening to The Guy James Show, WPTK Power Talk 1200 in Fort Myers, Florida, and we're going to be back right after the news.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James. Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
A mob at the mall. I'm Joan Bennett. This is supposed to be the busiest shopping day of the year. ABC's Bill Greenwood says more and more Americans are dragging their heels on getting it done.
Last year at this time, 52% of holiday shoppers had finished their search for gifts. But the National Retail Federation says only 46% have got all their shopping done this year. And an astonishing 37 million Americans have not even started.
If you're doing your holiday shopping online, says ABC's Lauren Rogers,
so many of us have been pointing and clicking our way through holiday shopping lists this year, we've set some major retailers on their ears. The Washington Post reports that researchers who track online sales say some of the biggest names in e-tailing have cracked under the holiday pressure. Amazon.com and Kmart.com are among those reporting what researchers call significant glitches.
President Bush says he'll work with both parties to get his economic agenda passed in his second term.
When Congress convenes next year, the House and Senate need to pass sound reforms in our medical liability, class action, and asbestos litigation systems.
And he says they must tackle Social Security. The controversy over painkillers, Vioxx, and now Celebrex, being linked to heart problems and stroke, is part of a larger problem, says Dr. David Katz at Yale School of Medicine.
If we ate better, if we were more physically active, if we were less overweight, if we smoked less, there'd be an awful lot less cardiovascular disease to begin with. We would all have nice, clean coronary arteries, and neither Vioxx nor Celebrex is likely to do any harm to people whose blood vessels are healthy to begin with.
The baby girl who was taken from her murdered mother's womb has met her father for the first time at a Kansas hospital. Little Victoria Jo Stinnett has been in good condition, a 36-year-old Kansas woman has been charged with kidnapping resulting in death. Three more arrests in what's being called Maryland's largest residential arson case. The blazes that caused $10 million damage. This is ABC News.
Hark, the defense makes bells ring. Glory to the pummeling. Capital One for we, the best proclaim. 11 days and 21 games. Hail Marys and coverage blown. Chance on board and chunks go home. A gift from Capital One you check.
Capital One Bowl Week is on ABC and ESPN, December 14th through the Capital One Bowl on New Year's Day.
If you've ever tried to put a bow on a lobster, you know how hard it is. Red Lobster makes it easy to give the gift of great seafood this holiday with a Red Lobster gift card. Treat the seafood lovers on your list to their favorite dishes, like fresh Maine lobster, jumbo crunch fried shrimp, or tender snow crab legs. Not to mention our mouth-watering Cheddar Bay biscuits. Make a seafood lover smile this holiday with a Red Lobster gift card.
For the
wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Comer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader. Wink News.
Charlotte County.
Digging deeper.
The debate over who won is just beginning.
Going further.
That's why police begin to clear off the street.
More people are being taken under.
Getting answers.
Henry County, Arcadia, Fort Myers.
Wink News. The team you turn to.
Towards the Southwest Florida coast.
The team you trust. Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader.
This is it. Duncan's Diamonds is having the greatest Christmas sale ever. Everything in the entire store is specially priced right now, including our huge selection of diamond earrings starting at just $99. Christmas will be here before you know it, so now's your best time to buy quality diamonds and the most fashionable jewelry at unbeatable prices. At Duncan's Diamonds, you'll be amazed and you'll find five times the selection of a typical jewelry store. Buy selected diamonds at New York wholesale prices. See our collection of previously enjoyed Rolex watches. This Christmas sale at Duncan's is the biggest ever. You can open a Duncan's charge account and save with fantastic holiday financing plans available during this gigantic Christmas sale. Now's the time to save. It's all happening right now at Duncan's Diamonds. Don't miss it. Everything in the store is specially priced for our largest ever Christmas sale. You'll find selected diamonds at wholesale prices, and you'll find the best styles and designs. Duncan's Diamonds in Fort Myers on US 41 in Port Charlotte at the Town Center Mall.
Wholesale Pricing Index, Rappaport Diamond Report, Volume 27, Number 26.
Have you ever heard the expression, you're not getting older, you're getting better? Well, when it comes to driving, that doesn't happen naturally, but it can happen with a little effort. Just ask 68-year-old H.R. Robinson.
Personally, I exercise 4 to 5 times every week. Anytime you exercise your body, you're exercising your mind as well. You feel more confident, not only in driving, but in all aspects of life.
For a free brochure, call 1-800-993-7222. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Prescription drugs can save lives, but for our low-income seniors, these drugs can be very expensive. I'm Dr. Rhonda Meadows. As a family physician, I understand the importance of these life-saving drugs. Florida's new Silver Saver drug program, which is now available, will help our most needy seniors get the prescriptions they need. If you are 65 or older and on Medicare, you may qualify for this program. Please call 1-888-419-3456 or visit myflorida.com.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
I wonder how many of you ever listened to the words of that song that we bring in. I chose that song because the words are especially meaningful to what we do here. The world is getting older. Do you believe the things they've told you? Do you believe the things you've read? It's called Word of Mouth. And I think it's absolutely appropriate to what we do on this program. That song means a lot to me. You know, we were talking earlier about the war, and somebody sent me a list. And if you've got any thank you cards, all of our listeners out there have some thank you cards, get out a thank you card and send a thank you card to each one of these folks I'm about to mention. These are the people you can thank for the Iraqi war. These are the people. These are the members of the PNAC, the Progress for a New American Century Group. The rats that they are. William Crystal, Elliot Abrams, Gary Bauer, William Bennett, Jeb Bush, Dick Cheney, Elliot Cohen, Steve Forbes. Who else is on this list? Louis Libby, and Dan Quayle, Donald Rumsfeld, Vin Weber, Paul Wolfowitz. Send all those folks a card of thank you. Thank you for getting us in this war, because it was their idea. It was their idea that they foisted upon this weakling George W. Bush and shoved him into it. It wasn't hard to get him to go along with what they wanted to do. No, it wasn't hard at all. Those are the folks, along with Mr. Bush, that you can thank for this Iraq war. No, no, not Saddam. No, no. Not bin Laden. Those folks. We have no business being in this war. You know it. I know it. Any thinking person knows it. But these guys had a different agenda. These guys I just mentioned. You know, and you know, we've been talking a lot about Rumsfeld, and I probably mentioned him a few times more today. And I can't really remember. Hey, let me give you the phone numbers. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally, or 263-6570 if you happen to be in Collier County. And, you know, talking about Donald Rumsfeld, I can't remember exactly what was the date when Rumsfeld was nailed to the wall by that soldier's question concerning the armor for the Humvees, but I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for the right wing's answer, and I knew it was coming. I told a couple of friends of mine, I predicted this. I knew the answer was coming. I knew what the answer was going to be. It's just that it took an unusually long time for them to put it out there. And you know the answer I'm talking about, don't you? You knew how they would answer those charges against Donald Rumsfeld. Of course you do. It was the good old tried and true, it's Bill Clinton's fault answer that they've used so often during, and successfully used, during these past 4 years. You know the one. The economy isn't our fault, it's Bill Clinton's fault. The 9/11 attack wasn't our fault, it was Bill Clinton's fault. Everything wrong with the country, now and forevermore, is Bill Clinton's fault. Hell, I think Bill Clinton must have sunk the Titanic. I just didn't think it would take them so long to use it this time. It took them a week. You know, it was obvious that Thursday of this past week, and I probably pay closer attention to this than most, but it was Thursday of this past week. That was the day that the powers that be chose to float the story out there. All of the right-wing talk radio guys and gals were marching on that day to Karl Rove's orders. When they finally blamed Bill Clinton for the Humvees not having the proper armor. You see, this is Bill Clinton's military, they explain. Oh yeah, this is Bill Clinton's military. Never mind that the largest cuts to the military ever proposed were requested by none other than Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney. Also like to read you a statement out of the 1992 State of the Union Address by Bush 1. And I quote, 2 years ago I began planning cuts in military spending that reflected the changes of the new era, but now this year with imperial communism gone, that process can be accelerated. Tonight I can tell you of dramatic changes in our strategic nuclear force. These are actions we're taking on our own because they are the right thing to do. After completing 20 planes for which we have begun procurement, we will shut down further production of the B-2 bombers. We will cancel the small ICBM program. We will cease production of the new warheads for our sea-based ballistic missiles. We will stop all new production of the Peacekeeper missile. And we will not purchase any more advanced cruise missiles. And the list of things that Cheney wanted to cut goes on and on and on and on. Many of them the same things they accused Kerry of voting against. So let's get that straight right off there. So, to go further with this, if this is Bill Clinton's military, then how was it that our troops vanquished the Afghanis and the Taliban like swatting flies? How was it that our troops ran through Saddam's forces like they didn't even exist? Seems like they were well equipped to do the job in both cases. What they were not prepared for was this war of terror by the Iraqi insurgents. They were a prepared military, not a prepared occupying power of policemen. You know, Bill Clinton's army was ready to carry out military operations, not missions of the type that Bush has thrust them into in Iraq. It's not like we were forced, and you sit back and you think about this. It's not like we were forced to march into Baghdad at the time we went. You know, if Bush saw the war in Iraq was absolutely necessary, and we know it wasn't, then why didn't he and his vaunted Secretary of Defense see to it that our troops were adequately prepared for such a mission? If they were so damn smart, then why didn't they foresee this problem and do everything possible to get ready for it? Instead of understanding and planning for reality, they absolutely deluded themselves and the American people into thinking we'd be greeted with cheering crowds of tossing flowers at our troops, just like in the movie. You remember those scenes of Paris after? Yeah, that's what they said. You know, does it give some of you comfort that our leadership could have been so terribly wrong? You know, it's obvious to anyone with an IQ over 60 that this war is and has been a total debacle. It's a national nightmare, and yet 59 million Americans recently said, "Well done, George. Give us more of the same." Face it, Bush wanted this war from the day he took the oath of office. There have been members of his very own administration have told us that. He wanted to expunge the sins of his father by finishing unfinished business in Iraq. He wanted Saddam's head on a stick because of Saddam's threats to his daddy. You know, any red-blooded American guy would have wanted revenge for that, but how many of us? How many of us would have risked the lives of thousands of Americans and killed 100,000 innocent Iraqis to do so? You know, so 9/11 gives him the excuse he needed, albeit a phony excuse, and he decides to have this war. He thought it'd be over in a couple of weeks, and the entire Muslim population would just love him. Just love him for getting them their freedom. He thought the American public would love him for gaining revenge for 9/11. He thought he could do it without spending any significant funds. And he thought he could do it without sacrificing very many lives. Bring them on. Mission accomplished. He was wrong, so very wrong on all counts. But now, it's painfully obvious that this whole Iraqi mess was a horrible, horrible miscalculation by Bush and his advisors. Karl Rove, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, and Bush himself are absolutely deserved of being run out of town on a rail for one of the worst blunders in American history. And yet, 59 million Americans are saying, "Well done, George. Well done." You know, those of you who seem to bow at Bush's feet, let me ask you, what would it take? What would it take for you to understand the depth of his incompetence? You know, our economy is in the tank. The world hates us. We're losing more soldiers every day. We're no safer now than on 9/11. We've got a prescription medicine crisis happening. We've got military personnel coming home and not getting the help they need. On the home front, we've got more bankruptcies than ever. Home foreclosures at an all-time high. Wages are dropping. In short, foreign and domestic policies that are utter failures. What would it take for you to open your eyes and see the real world concerning the Bush administration? But I guess it's all Bill Clinton's fault, isn't it? Of course. Of course. Let's go to Russ in Fort Myers. Hi, Russ. Let's try it again. Hi, Russ.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey. How are you today?
Good.
After that, I feel like jumping off the Caloosahatchee Bridge. You got me depressed.
Well, you don't have too far to fall there.
couple things. You had touched on saying that we're not safer now than we were before 9/11. Do you believe that?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Why?
Why?
I mean, we're getting people on a daily basis that are enemies of ours.
Did you see how they smuggled this phony bomb through the airport recently? The phony,
well,
dirty bomb, just to see it could be done?
You know, that's going to happen. Things are going to happen.
Are our borders safe from...
Well, absolutely not. We can't.
No. Are our ports safe?
I think they're safer.
You do?
Absolutely.
You don't think they could smuggle a bomb in there any time they wanted to now?
Oh, I don't know about anything.
We're only checking 5% of the things, and you think we're safer because of the people we're killing in Iraq?
I think we're safer because of what we're doing worldwide.
And what might that be?
We're running wars in their territory, in their front yards. We're not doing it in ours.
Do you think the Iraqis were a threat to us?
I think they could have been in the future. Were they immediately? Maybe not.
No. And were there a bunch of terrorists in Iraq that you can prove that they were there? No.
Is there Kawi's there?
We don't know that. We don't know where he is, or they'd get him.
Well, you know how somebody could lose half their listeners?
No. How could somebody lose half their listeners? I will not apologize for my viewpoints on this program. I think this administration is a terrible misadministration. I don't think they've done hardly anything right. I think they've proven it over and over and over again. I won't apologize for anything I've said about Mr. Bush, because unlike most of the talk show hosts you hear on the radio, I mean every last word I say. I have a passion for what I say. I believe it. I believe it to my soul. I believe every word. And I do a lot of research, and I find out the truth on these issues. You know, when it comes to people like the Bush administration and the absurd things that they've gotten the public to believe. A good gentleman that just called. Obviously, he thinks the war in Iraq was a good idea. That they may be a problem. They might have been a problem in the future. Wow. I can think of a lot of countries that could be a problem in the future. Hey, I'll tell you one right now that could be a problem in the future. Huh? China. China could be a huge problem in the future. Are we going to go attack them? No, I don't think so. Why, even the Canadians could become a problem in the future. They could. They might. It's possible. But we don't go and attack them, do we? You know, I'm trying to think who it was that said it, talking about absurdities. Those who can make... I'm going to paraphrase this. I think it's those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. It's home, doesn't it? I think it kind of hits home. And we've got the Person of the Year Award coming up this year. Once again, it's Time Magazine, isn't it? Yes. Who do you think ought to be the Person of the Year this year? Paul Bremer? George Tenet? Maybe George Bush? How about, as one person suggested to me earlier today, how about Lindy England? She's done as much good as the rest of those people. Maybe less harm than the rest of those people. I don't know. Let's go to Eric in Vermont. We've got Eric. Hi, Eric. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Guy. How are you doing?
Fantastic.
That's good. You're going to have a couple weeks off. That's good for you.
Yeah. We might actually get something done around the house or something, you know?
Something like normal?
I know one thing, Eric. I'm not going to have to chop any firewood.
What? We only have about an inch and a half up here right now at this time. Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about the PNAAC, which is maybe for some of your listeners the project for the New American Century,
mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the national news media covers this an awful lot. It basically is something that came up in 1997, which I'm sure that you will know, and I was just trying to help with some of the information for maybe some of your listeners. You tell me if I'm, you know, going off track someplace. I just think that a lot of people need to get further beyond some of the national news media that really isn't giving them any sort of information that they need to make decisions in their life concerning their country and the feelings they have for the patriotism and the good values that we have in this country, and that a lot of that is being stolen away from them, in my mind, in my opinion, by some of these efforts with, like, for example, the PNAC, which is the project for the New American Century. And this is, like, chairmaned by Bill Kristol, who is a very intelligent person. I just think he's, like, a little bit twisted off of what's going on there in terms of the way he wants to address the issues of our relationship internationally with the world. And, I mean, if any of your listeners would like to get on, then I'm sure they could Google the PNAC. There also is another site called the POAC, called the Project for the Old American Century. And I think it would really be nice to have some of your listeners to get into some of the Internet kind of stuff to look at some of that stuff, because my feelings are that the people that are signing on to this allegiance to the PNAC are people that generally tend to have a very preemptive perspective of the U.S. role in terms of eliminating a threat before it happens, among other things. And I was just trying to go on and give you that.
Well, that's a scary proposition. You know, whatever happened to Teddy Roosevelt? You know, I always loved that saying, we all did, walk softly and carry a big stick. You know, that's what America used to do. We used to walk softly. We were a compassionate nation. We were an understanding nation, and we wouldn't get into a conflict unless it was absolutely necessary for our citizens to be protected and so forth. I think we got out of hand on that in Vietnam, but you know, anymore, they've completely forgotten that. They just want to trash everybody. This PNAC group does and take over, and it's just not the way things are done.
No, I agree, and I don't think a lot of American people understand some of the underpinnings of what some of these people are really doing behind the scenes that is not being exposed to them in terms of the information that is given to them, and they're not skeptical enough of a lot of the mainstream media for the information that they're getting.
Oh, sure, they believe what they hear on Fox News.
Yes, and it's like it's sad.
It certainly is.
Sad. And they get very upset when anybody sort of contradicts that with, yeah, but is this? Because, no, I heard that there in Fox News or CNN a lot of times or mm-hmm. whatever it is. They're not there. You know? People have to become much more sophisticated in their information gathering in order to make a good, patriotic decision as to what sort of issues they want to include in their life and which way they want to address them.
And with all the resources in the information age that we have now, it's easy to get behind the scenes and find the real truth. It's very easy.
I think so. A lot of people don't want to take the time. And boy, we live in a fast world, and a lot of times, you know, like people, you know, that I work with, you know, if they have families, they're, you know, both members, you know, mother, father, work, you know, the kids are going this way, and you know, it's really hard for a lot of people to have the time to do that, but I think this is a critical time for people to really sort of take their heads out of the sand a little bit for the mainstream media and sort of like start investigating these guys just a little bit more and become a little more heads up on what they need to know in towards making an intelligent vote during the election
process.
That's
right. And the politicians know darn well that we've become a soundbite society, and they've taken full advantage of it. Eric, thanks so much for your call.
Well, I always thank you for being there, Scott. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go up and see Mike in Fort Myers. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Thank you for that short list of thank you notes I've got to write. It's certainly a lot shorter than all the notes I'll be writing for my Christmas gifts. Appreciate that very much. I applaud the last caller's comments. It was something that I had wanted to bring up to you, and I, as you noticed, the screener, furnishes you comments on people's calls that are coming up, doesn't he?
Not really.
All right. Well,
nope. I'll tell you exactly what yours says. Yours says
can
Mike
in Fort. Repeat it on the air.
Yours says Mike in Fort Myers, PNAC. That's what it
all
says.
All right. That's good. This previous caller brought up some good points, and I had an occasion to get in touch one of the few times that I've happened to they claimed they didn't know what that was. Now, I find that very interesting.
I do, too.
In 2 seconds, I was able to go on and do a Google and find all about them.
Certainly.
And I wonder why the major media has not covered it as much as it should be, because then we'd really know what the driving forces are behind this this war.
Well, I think the whole problem boils down to what Bill Moyers was talking about last night. I don't know if you saw his program last night, but it was about this age of propaganda we live in and how the conservatives have been masters at it, and they have.
Well, I wonder if it's going to be repeated, because I think I should look at it. I hadn't had the opportunity to visit
it. It will be repeated, I believe, Sunday night. And one other thing, you can always go on PBS and look for Now and look up the transcript of Now, and it'll be on there. It probably won't be on there until Sunday. I've always found they've been like a day late, but a fascinating program. And I think if Bill Moyers had put it on in the middle of the year before he was ready to retire, they probably would have kicked him off. Because,
well, I would say that. But on a positive subject, I just want to wish you well over the holidays and hope that you have a good Christmas and New Year. And we're looking forward to moving a little bit farther down on the right and listen to you on the dial.
That's right. We're moving right. Now, don't get excited, everybody.
No, I didn't mean that at all. That's not my intention at
all.
Yeah,
but it's the truth, Mike. We're moving right on the dial.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
A couple of megacycles.
That's right. Thanks so very much, Mike.
Have a good holiday.
Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to, where are we going here? Let's go to Dave in Arcadia, California. Are you in Arcadia, California, Dave? Let's try Dave again. Hi, Dave.
Humboldt County. Guy, you come closer than almost anybody I know of expressing the reality of what this White House crew is all about.
Can you speak up just a little for me, Dave?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Thank you.
Am I coming through bad?
You're okay.
Okay. I was saying that I think you, more than almost anybody I know, express the reality of what this White House crew is all about. But I'm of the belief that on several fronts they're even worse than you're seeing it. A quick question. What do you think was the driving force behind this PNAC right from the get-go 10, 12 years ago?
I think they want to get their tentacles into the Middle East and control the Middle East, and he who controls the Middle East, if we could walk in and control the Middle East in its entirety, would control the world.
Yeah, but that's a secondary thing. What they had in mind was a very planned shift of wealth to this very top-end Carlyle group. And
well, they certainly haven't hurt themselves on that front. No, certainly not.
No. In fact, on everything that this administration is about is consistent with this plan. And indeed, if you're a billionaire, you're doing very well under the Bush team, as the middle class is crumbling and such. But totally consistent with that is our entrance into Iraq, and I believe they were evil enough to orchestrate the excuse to do it. If not orchestrate it, at the very least, turn their back and let it happen. So the invasion of Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11, is strictly for the profits of the people, the same top-level folks, and it is very, very profitable for a lot of these folks over there.
Well, it's a very incestuous relationship once you dig into it, the Halliburton and the Brown and Roots and all the folks there.
Oh,
is extremely incestuous.
They're making megabucks by cheating the hell out of the taxpayers. And, you know, another thing that I think I hear you operating on the belief, I sincerely think you do believe that the GOP got elected this time, reelected, and I think nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, I don't think that. No, I don't. But it's becoming increasingly clear what am I going to do about it, because I don't have, and nobody has, that I can see, an absolute positive smoking gun in their hand.
Well, they exist. I'm pretty sure that the young man that actually designed the machine, the programming for them, is now out front and expressing it, and I think he's pretty credible.
Well, if he is, and if he's got the goods, it will come forward. I believe that. I believe it will.
Well, what do you think, for all those time, the last, 8, 9 years or so, that we've had these machines in place, being used, and all kinds of Democrats, certainly, but a lot of good Republicans have said, we've got to make these machines verifiable. But that's been fought by GOP leadership. They will not let any bill come up for a vote to make these machines verifiable. Now, why? You have to ask yourself that common sense question. Why would HASA do this? Why would Delay do that? Why would they not allow us to have verifiable voting machines?
Oh, sure, David. You're absolutely right. And there's just a lot of things about these if we're going to get into that subject right now, there's a lot of things that people just don't know. I think it's pretty close to 80% of all the votes in America are being counted by ESNS and Diebold machines.
Yes,
that's number one. Number two, there is no federal regulatory agency with any oversight over them whatsoever. Number three, I'm trying to think, the president of ES&S and the vice president of Diebold are brothers. Isn't that odd?
And the president of Diebold had promised to deliver Ohio.
Yes. Deliver electoral votes to the president next year was his. And Chuck Hagel is involved. He used to be chairman of ES&S. And,
I can't believe that we, the citizens of this country, are being this much deceived and this gullible and not an uproar over it. To me, it's an outrage. You know a lot of the outrages, but stealing our elections, stealing our free press, stealing the middle class, this is a very willfully destructive group of folks just benefiting from it at the top end like crazy.
Well, as you know, someone, like I said before, someone's going to have to come forth and have it cut and dried. Here's the evidence.
Right.
And it was you who sent me an email, I think, what you're talking about. What's this guy's name? Klein?
His name is Clint Curtis. He's flyonthewall.com.
Yeah. Flyonthewall.com. Very interesting. I tried to get a hold of him for the show today, and I couldn't.
I've emailed him, and he's emailed me back that he would be more than willing to go on your show, and they gave me a number to have you call.
Okay, well, send that to me again, will you?
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
Will do.
Good to hear from you. Let's go to Steve in Port Charlotte. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Good.
No weapons of mass destruction. You know, the people don't want to be free, and now they're using, we're bringing a fight to the terrorists. I left Iraq in mid-October,
and
the same problems that were going on, they're talking about now the Humvees. We drove up from Kuwait to Iraq. We complained about no armor on the Humvees. Not only that, the weapons that we had, I was using the M16A1, which is a 70s version of the M16. The weapon was made in the 1970s. We had weapons from the 70s, early 80s. Some of the magazines didn't even work inside the rifles. I had a Marine that was telling me, was looking at me, he's like, what kind of rifle is that? I was like,
were you in the Guard or the regulars?
I was in the Navy CB.
Oh.
Yeah. We were out there on some building projects, but the Iraqis told us if we built anything, they would blow it up.
I'm hearing that people from the Guard, for instance, are having to leave the weapons that they came with. They're having to leave them for the new Guard people coming in because there isn't enough to go around.
Exactly. They actually started bringing in new weapons right now, but I mean the weapons that we went out with, they barely even worked. And I'm kind of surprised that no one's even talked about that or brought it on TV or anything like that. Even the equipment we had, like our boots, they practically just fall apart in the desert. And we had equipment that were like dump trucks that were from the 70s that were they were still in the box. They're just waiting in the shipyard. We just took them out and they were from the 70s.
Wow.
Some of them had no miles on them, but some of them had, 100,000 miles on them. It was just ridiculous. I have no idea what we're doing out there.
Can't imagine given... let me ask you a question, Steve. I've talked to several guys that have been over there, quite a few I've corresponded with. Did it seem like the mission was clear and orderly as to what we're doing and where we're going there?
That is so funny. We asked the Admiral. We were like, what are we doing over here? What is our mission? No one could find out what the mission was. And then after a while, they said, okay, we'll go over here to expand the base from such and such to a number of people. So we had to build different buildings, put bunkers up and stuff like that. But we didn't have as far as the CBs, we didn't have a set project we were doing over there.
I heard, it's the truth, that they're building at least 14 permanent bases in Iraq. Do you know anything about that?
I know that they're cutting down some of the bases, but they're expanding other bases. Instead of having bases with a couple thousand people, they take all those smaller bases and blend them into one big base.
Doesn't sound like we're ready to leave anytime soon.
No, I was in Ramadi, and it was a pretty bad area over there. We took a lot of casualties, and you know, it's just, you know, you start to see the people that is coming back there. You hear about people dead, but you know, I went to go visit a couple of friends that were, you know, paralyzed from the neck down, can't communicate. It's just, you know, I just didn't understand what we were doing over there.
Well,
just,
a lot of people don't. Steve, I thank you so much. I thank you for your service and your patriotism, and I thank you for calling the show today. Please call us anytime.
Thank you, guy.
Good to hear from you. You know, there's the people. There's one of the people right there. There's one of the people that we need to support. We need to support him when he comes home. First of all, we got to make sure he's got a decent economy to come home for. We got to make sure he has a job to come home to. And whatever care that he and his compadres need when they come home, it should be there, no matter what it is. If it's psychological help, if it's medical help, if it's lifelong, whatever it is, these people deserved top-shelf treatment, the very best. And they're not getting it. We've got this administration, oh, support our troops. Let's fly the flag and let's put our little ribbons on and all that. Support the troops. We all know they're not supporting the troops the way they ought to be supported. We know that. There's thousands of instances of that not being supported the way they need to. Keep that in mind over these holidays or those 150,000 or so people over there with an unclear mission, getting savaged every day because not having the proper armor. It's a disgraceful situation. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04, 479-5540. Give us a call and we're going to pause for a break right now. You are listening to The Guy James Show, and we'll be back right after these words.
The Guy James Show.
Dear Beth, I have so much to say to you, and this seems the only way to do it. Maybe you can check your email from heaven. You probably don't remember me, but my name is Stacy. I was behind you the other night, and I stopped when I saw the smoke. At first I couldn't move, but then I found a strength I didn't know I had. I reached into the broken window, touched your wrist, and found a faint pulse. You weren't breathing. As I touched your neck, your head moved and you gasped softly for air. Thank God, I thought. She's alive. There's a chance. I was holding your head in my hands and softly stroking your hair, and had a million things spinning in my head. God, she's just a young girl, I thought. You opened your eyes for merely moments. I'm here with you. I'm not leaving you. Help is on the way. Then your eyes closed. Come on, fight, I said. And I knew you were trying.
But Beth Hoime did not survive her encounter with a drunk driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Attention, baby boomers of America. A message from the American Optometric Association.
By now, your little foray into middle age has introduced you to presbyopia, a loss of close focus. And you've probably run to the drugstore to try on reading glasses. By trial and error. Don't try to be your own eye doctor. Get the reading glasses you really need. See your optometrist. Or you could just learn to live with the headaches and the poor fitting glasses and the nausea.
Orthopedic surgeons are perfecting a promising new procedure that could end some tragic mistakes in the operating room. It's called Sign Your Sight, and it calls for surgeons to sign their initials directly on the patient in the correct spot where the surgery needs to happen while the patient watches. Some might say signing your sight is being overly cautious. We say when it comes to surgery, there's no such thing. For more on patient safety, visit AAOS.org. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Guy James here with you on this Southwest Florida afternoon. I hope it's nice wherever you are in the United States and around the world. Say, I had something interesting happen this past week. Yes, we get emails from people around the world from time to time, but I got a real, as my father would say, slew of them this week. Got a bunch of emails from folks listening in the Scandinavian countries, Norway and Sweden, and where else? Denmark. Couple of guys listening in the Czech Republic. I know they're listening right now, and they're expatriates from here in the U.S. And so glad to have all of you folks listening from around the world. It's very interesting to hear your views on American political situation going on. It really is. We find a lot of truth, not propaganda, from talking to people from around the world and their views on the United States, how they and the citizenry of their prospective countries, how they think about us right now. Very, very interesting to talk with those folks. Very interesting. Hey, it's not too late to get in on the inauguration. I had a note here somewhere. Let me look and see if I can find it. Not too late at all. Here we go. An invitation to Bush's inauguration. You're invited to George W. Bush's second inauguration. The President's Ball is open to all citizens. Well, now that's nice. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, there's a caveat here. To all citizens who are willing to pony up $10,000. Oh, that's different. The National Republican Congressional Committee, which raises money for House races, is promising individuals who contribute $10,000 two tickets to a VIP reception with Republican House leaders. Well, I got to talk to my wife about this. Only $10,000 and we get two tickets to a VIP reception with Republican House leaders. You know, and we could probably, if we got the tickets to that and we got to meet with the Republican, like with Dennis Hastert, for example, we could probably talk with him about some of these problems that we've been discussing on the program. He'd probably listen. And listen, I don't want you to think this is strictly for rich folks, because it isn't. Let's say you're a little short on the $10,000. And you can only afford $5,000. That's their silver package. You got this from the folks over at Aldernet. For $5,000, you get the same benefits. Just one small detail. You don't get to go to the VIP reception. So let me get this right. For $5,000, you get to do what? Two tickets to the general reception. Okay, that's the cattle call. That's where anybody, you know. Okay, and if that's too pricey, you can still do this for only $2,500 to show your loyalty and buy a bronze package. Now, going bronze will get you... Oh, the missus isn't going to like this at all. Not at all. One ticket to the committee's general reception. The inaugural. So this bronze thing's for losers, then. It's for people that can't get anybody to go with them. Oh, I don't know. She's not going to go for that. But anyway, you know, and if you got more money than that, there's the $100,000 outlet for the folks that really are well-heeled. Those who give $100,000 or more to Bush's inaugural fundraising committee will have entree to the glitziest events when Bush takes his oath of office on January the 20th and in the days before Inauguration Day. So, man, I'll tell you, that's kind of interesting. $100,000, you can go to all the goodies and, oh my. And let me be clear about this. I don't care what party it is. It doesn't make any. If I were talking about a bunch of Democrats right there, that's obscene. It really is. If that was Bill Clinton being inaugurated right there, I'd say, you know, this is ridiculous. There are some things in Washington that just don't make any sense. And that doesn't make any sense. And like our earlier caller we had on today, having a $50 million inauguration in time of war does not make any sense whatsoever. Sacrifice? Yeah. I think the president should sacrifice and say we're not going to have an inauguration. At the very least, let's have it subdued because we are in time of war. But, oh, what the hell? There's 1,300 Americans been killed and 10,000 wounded and 100,000 Iraqis? Let's celebrate. Get out the horns and the hats and let's have a good time. Why not? It's been a great year here in America, hasn't it? Of course it has. Man, it's been a great year. The economy's in the toilet. Jobs moving overseas. What else here? We got bankruptcies and foreclosures doing very nicely, thank you. So let's celebrate. Let's put $50 million for an inauguration. And let's show America, well, let's just show them how patriotic we are and boy, let's fly a lot of flags at that inauguration, too. Let's just have flags everywhere so they'll think we're really, really, really super patriots. The more flags we have, the more patriotic we are. Hell, I saw a car going down the road the other day, a great big fat U.S., what do you call those? SUVs. big, huge SUV. On the back, it had five of those ribbons on, one of every color and one with a cross on right in the middle. Man, I was impressed. I said to myself, now there is a real, genuine patriot right there. Yeah. There's Sam Houston and Audie Murphy and Franklin Rose all rolled into one inside that SUV because he's got five of those ribbons on there. And I tell you, I was so proud. I was so proud. I had a tear in my eye when I saw this. It was one of those big Ford excursions, you know. Gets about the same mileage as a battleship. And this folks over there fighting over oil, and this guy was sucking up just as much of it as he possibly could. And, boy, I tell you, I see those ribbons. I apologize to all you folks who have those on for the right reason. If you've got somebody overseas and you want folks to think about them, then that's fine with me. But let's not be involved and walk around saying that's your duty. You've done your duty with that little flag or that little ribbon, because you haven't. You haven't. You know, talking about Donald Rumsfeld, I don't know why he's getting all the mention today. He's hogged the show, really, Donald Rumsfeld. Don't you think he's kind of weird? I mean, here's a guy. How many people do you know in your life? I mean, I've known thousands of people that worked in offices, and I know you have too. And there old Rummy's got his desk at the Department of Defense and no chair. It's a stand-up desk. He stands up. He won't even sit down while he's doing his job. I don't know whether he's got what has he got, like a hemorrhoid problem or something? Maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe send him one of those cushions. But, you know, he's trying to prove what a tough guy he is. He's going to stand up all day long and just show us that, boy, he's really working in our best interest. I'll tell you, he hadn't worked in anybody's best interest. And now we find out that there's been this memo from the Navy's Criminal Investigative Services, an email, if you will, that's been found. And the documents show that the problems at Abu Ghraib and Gitmo, the problems with people being a little too aggressive in their interrogation and people dying and all that sort of thing, finds out it goes right to the top. Finds out that good old Donald Rumsfeld, that's what they're alleging here, that Donald Rumsfeld was behind the whole thing. Would that surprise any of you? Wouldn't surprise me, but I know full well there's people out there right now listening to my voice saying, damn right, that Rumsfeld, you betcha, by golly, why torture them guys, and, you know, our own intelligence people don't agree with that. They know that it's not, it doesn't work. They get faulty information out of it. They get downright false information, because I'll tell you what, if someone's torturing me, I pretty much tell them what they want to hear, and that's how it goes. And so torture oftentimes gets you nothing. You know, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04, 479-5540. I mentioned earlier today about the Bill Moyers program last night, and he hit upon a subject that's certainly a burr under my saddle, there's no doubt about it, and it's about this propaganda war that's going on in America. We all know who's winning that propaganda war. We all know who won it this year for certain, and we all know who won it in the last presidential election. The Republicans are winning the propaganda war. Sinclair Broadcasting. Clear Channel. Think about what these people do. Just think about it. Think of the influence that they have over the American public. Think of all the right-wing talk shows there are on the air all over America. Think of the likes of Rush, the pill junkie Limbaugh, talking to 15 million people every week, and them lapping up every bit of it as though it's truth. And Sean Hannity, he's the one. In my book, he's really the one. Goes around America speaking to conservative groups, telling them one fat lie after another. And last week we showed you some of the lies he did. We'll continue to do that, but you can't believe very much of what comes out of his mouth. And when challenged to back it up, they don't. And as we've told you before, we've invited all those gentlemen, including Mr. Pervert Bill O'Reilly, we've invited all those gentlemen to be on the program, and of course they will not. What cowards, especially Mr. O'Reilly. But, you know, we have these people out there with their propaganda over and over and over again. And you know, look what Clear Channel did this past year. Look what they did with the Dixie Chicks. Was that not a concerted effort to muzzle somebody and keep them from saying what they wanted to say? It most certainly was. Threatened to ruin their careers and probably did some serious damage to the Dixie Chicks' career. And we've got all the foundations, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars by people like Richard Mellon Scaife and the Coors family, the Heritage Pound Foundation, the PNAC Group. They've been willing, and this is where the Democrats have gone terribly wrong, they've been willing to spend whatever it takes. And they've had a whatever it takes mentality for over 20 years now to build a propaganda machine. And they have done it, and let me tell you, as far as propaganda machines goes, this sucker is a Mercedes-Benz. It's the best. It is the very best there has ever been on the planet. Now, you know, there have been lots of propaganda machines over the years. You know, you think back, and of course, it always comes to mind, Adolf Hitler had a very, very good propaganda machine. Man, oh man, was he good at propaganda. You know, all the flags flying in the background and all the snazzy uniforms and all the big rallies with the torches and, you know, just having everybody sing this and blaming the same people for all their problems and so forth. Great propaganda machine. But it wasn't anything compared to this one, because in this country, they control the radio, they control the TV, they control the media in this country. They control it, lock, stock, and barrel. Well, they don't have this show. I forgot about that. There's 3 hours a week right here. But they control it. And they have got a wonderful propaganda machine that's doing serious damage to the Democratic Party, doing serious damage to America, let's face it. And yet, what are we doing about it? What are the Democrats and the level-headed people in America doing about this propaganda machine? Virtually nothing. Virtually nothing at all. Oh, yeah, we've got our little show here, and we've got Air America doing a little bit here and a little bit there. But nobody's putting up the serious money it takes to make a real network with lots of stations and lots of influence. It's just not happening. Just not happening at all. We hope to go to Washington in January and meet with some folks who make it happen. We hope they're serious. We really do. Hey, someone sent me a list. When you go finish your Christmas shopping this year, here's a list of people that maybe you ought to stay away from, and maybe some people who you ought to patronize. And leading the list, and I was so glad to see this is one of my favorite stores, Costco. The Price Club and Costco donated $225,000 this year to the political campaign. 99% of it went to Democrats. So hats off to the folks at Costco. Rite Aid drugstore gave 60% of their money to Democrats. Megla Products, that includes Stanley Tools and Mr. Clean, they gave 100% of their money to Democrats. Martha Stewart. Now, I want you all to treat Martha real nice when she gets out of the pokey. You understand? You treat her real nice, because Martha Stewart Living Omni Media gave $153,000, and 99% of it went to Democrats. Estee Lauder. I don't know if Mrs. James buys Estee Lauder products or not. They gave 95% of their money to Democrats. Guess Incorporated gave 98% to Democrats. Calvin Klein, 100%. Boy, I can hear those Republicans out there right now just swearing at these people. They're dirty. I'd never buy anything from those people. Liz Claiborne, 97% to Democrats. Levi Strauss, 90. What is the deal here? Does all the makeup and all the jeans been bought by just Democrats? I guess the Republicans don't wear that stuff. Olin Mills, 99% to Democrats. Who else we got here? Gallo Winery. Now, that's going to make a lot of you real happy. On this Christmas season, all the wine that's on your table, have it from Gallo. 95% of their money to Democrats. Joseph Seagram's and Son, 67% to Democrats. And who else we got? The Hyatt Corporation. Hey, that's good. 80% to Democrats. and Triarch companies. That includes Arby's, TJ Cinnamons, and Pasta Connections. Good companies all. 96% of their money went to Democrats. So now here's a couple you want to stay away from. Of course, the first one on the list, I often recommend that you stay away from. I stay away from it, and I'd rather face grim death than walk in the doors of these people, and that's good old Walmart. 97% of their money went to Republicans. Kmart, 86% to Republicans. Home Depot. Did you see that they were in that economic conference that Bush had this week? Oh, man, the guy from Home Depot, he was a real treat. 89% to Republicans. Target, 70% to Republicans. Circuit City, 95% to Republicans. 3M, 87% to Republicans. Hallmark Cards. People that bring you all those good wishes, bring you good wishes just toward the Republicans, 92% of their money. Amway. I heard just, Jay Van Andel just died the other day. I think Rich DeVos is still living. Two founders of Amway. 100% of their money went to, why did I not know that was coming? B.F. Goodrich, 97% to Republicans. Procter & Gamble, 79% to Republicans. Coors, 92% to Republicans, and also Budweiser, 92% to Republicans. Just quite a few here. Macaroni Grill, 83% to Republicans. Waffle House, 100% to Republicans. You know, I'm disappointed in that. McDonald's, 86% to Republicans. We'll talk a little more about this list after the news. You are listening to The Guy James Show on WPTK Power Talk 1200 Fort Myers, Florida, and we're going to be back after the news at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show. Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Coming in from the cold to shop, I'm Joan Bennett. This is the weekend that retailers hope will help them make their bottom line for the year. Ellen Tolley with the National Retail Federation says a cold snap has helped put holiday shoppers in the mood.
There was almost an instant change. Consumers started to feel the holiday shopping spirit. Malls became busier. Parking lots became more crowded. There's certainly no doubt that with the weather cooling down, it's a good sign for retailers that are trying to sell not only clothing, but other holiday merchandise.
This is considered to be the busiest shopping day of the year. It may come as no surprise to those who are trying to find a parking space at the mall today. The former general known as Chemical Ali, who allegedly gave the order to gas thousands of Kurds, looked haggard as he appeared in a Baghdad courtroom today. An Iraqi tribunal is beginning legal proceedings against Saddam Hussein's key deputies ahead of next month's Iraqi elections. ABC News Mideast consultant Fawaz Sherjes says some are questioning the fairness of the proceedings.
I believe that the American authorities are at least anxious and do not believe that a trial as soon as possible would serve the interests of justice or peace in Iraq, even though they have not made their position very publicly regarding the trial so far.
A glimmer of hope after a family tragedy in Missouri. Buck Potter says even though his daughter, Bobby Jo Stinnett, is dead, brutally murdered in her 8 month of pregnancy.
They found her daughter alive, well, and that way a small portion of Bobby will be able to live on.
Baby girl was taken from her mother's womb. Authorities tracked down the alleged killer, 36-year-old Lisa Montgomery, by tracing emails. Police say Montgomery admitted strangling Stinnett and telling her husband that she had the baby.
Welcome to Neverland.
Michael Jackson welcoming about 200 kids and their parents to his Neverland ranch to meet Santa yesterday. Goes on trial next year. This is ABC News.
The holidays can be stressful, and all that stress can cause you to grind your teeth at night. So give someone you love the Doctor's Night Guard. It's the dental protector you wear at night to cushion your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Whew, finally. Relieve the nightly grind with the Doctor's Night Guard in your oral care section.
Always low prices. That's true at Walmart every day, but it means even more this time of year. So why wait for a rebate? Save on the hottest gifts right now. Like a Fisher-Price Sesame Street Elmo for just $16.88. If you don't already know, trust me, kids love Elmo. A Ladies Hanes Her Way fleece crew neck top or pants for just $4.64. Excuse me, that's a fleece for under $5. Or for the future literary genius in the family, the Leapfrog Read Aloud Leap Pad with microphone for just $24.88. Ah, the joy of giving. But the joy of saving feels pretty good, too. Walmart. Always low prices. Always.
Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Comer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader. Wink News.
Charlotte County.
Digging deeper.
The debate over who won is just beginning.
Going further.
As riot police begin to clear off the street, more people are being taken under.
Getting answers.
Punta Gorda.
Henry County. Arcadia. Fort Myers.
Wink News. The team you turn to.
Towards the Southwest Florida coast.
The team you trust. Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader.
This is it. Dunkin's Diamonds is having the greatest Christmas sale ever. Everything in the entire store is specially priced right now, including our huge selection of diamond earrings starting at just $99. Christmas will be here before you know it, so now's your best time to buy quality diamonds and the most fashionable jewelry at unbeatable prices. At Dunkin's Diamonds, you'll be amazed and you'll find five times the selection of a typical jewelry store. Buy selected diamonds at New York wholesale prices. See our collection of previously enjoyed Rolex watches. This Christmas sale at Dunkin's is the biggest ever. You can open a Dunkin's charge account and save with fantastic holiday financing plans available during this gigantic Christmas sale. Now's the time to save. It's all happening right now at Dunkin's Diamonds. Don't miss it. Everything in the store is specially priced for our largest ever Christmas sale. You'll find selected diamonds at wholesale prices, and you'll find the best styles and designs. Dunkin's Diamonds in Fort Myers on US 41 in Port Charlotte at the Town Center Mall.
Wholesale pricing index, Rappaport Diamond Report, Volume 27, Number 26.
God bless America. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, here we are at the last hour of the program today. My, oh my, where does the time go? Hey, how many of you saw this? I found this right before I went on the air, and it happened Wednesday. I didn't hear about it today. Police investigate 11-year-old boy for being un-American. Mm-hmm. It's starting, folks. When... You know, this kid had bad behaviors, what he had. There's no question about it. He had, if I was his parent, I'd ground him for a day or two over this. But when the two plainclothes London County Sheriff's investigators showed up on her Leesburg doorstep, Pamela Albaugh got nervous. But when they told her why they were there, she got angry. A complaint has been filed alleging that her 11-year-old son had made anti-American and violent statements in school. Albaugh described her son as a rambunctious student who has long opposed armies of any kind. He refused the Veterans Day assignment and told his teacher that the Marines might as well die as much as I care. Whatever was said, the word has been the source of anguished conferences, phone calls, and ultimately a day of in-school suspension. The investigators came to her home from the police, gave her intense personal questioning, asked how she felt. Listen to some of these questions. They asked the mother how she felt about 9/11 and the military. They ask whether she knows any foreigners who have trouble with American policy. They mentioned a German friend who had been staying with the family and asked whether the friend sympathized with the Taliban. They also inquired whether she might be teaching her children anti-American values. This is from the Washington Post. You know, I can see it now, an army of 11-year-olds. It scares me. It really scares me. It really does. And, we can't let the show pass without talking about our... Well, I don't know what to call this guy anymore. Keep getting different. Bernie Kerik. I don't know. I'm almost to the point where I hope this thing doesn't go any further, but I don't know, because I don't know how it could get any worse. This guy has to be the lowest of the low. But then he's representing those family values, you know, those moral values of the Republican Party. He really is. You know, stop and think about some of those people when you do think about it. You know, Kerik's values are all right. You know, Limbaugh's a drug addict. Hey, that's no problem. He's still on the air. O'Reilly harassed his assistant. Hey, no problem. He's still on the air. And, my goodness, Bernie Kerik. And, of course, we have the esteemed Rudy Giuliani, who paraded his mistress around New York. And, in fact, Kerik used to drive Giuliani back and forth to his little tryst and liaisons. But, you know, those are Republican values, and that's different. And those are Republican values, absolutely. But this Kerik guy, he's a class act. He really is. Now they find out that he had two simultaneous affairs going on. One of them was Judith Regan, and I don't know how many of you, and another one was a correction officer in the New York City Police Department. I don't know how many of you know about Judith Regan, but she's a real good-looking head of her own book publishing company and a columnist as well. And there was nobody that was rougher on Bill Clinton during his problems than Judith Regan. And don't you know, she had an affair with Bernie Kerik. Now, Bernie had an apartment donated by, I don't know who donated, but one of the big companies in New York donated an apartment right there at Ground Zero so the firefighters and the police who were working there could get a little rest, and they could go to this apartment and rest and then go back to work. But it seemed like Bernie wanted to use it and did use it for some other type of activity. And so he had that one going on. And then across town he had another apartment going on with this corrections officer. You know, think about that for a minute. You know, now that I go back and think about that, here's an apartment overlooking Ground Zero, and the police chief of New York City is looking out the window at his people where they died. A bunch of them died, and the firemen too. A bunch of them died, and he's up there having an affair with a woman looking out the window at Ground Zero. My God, can you have lower morals than that, can you? I mean, can you possibly go any lower than that? And then across town, he's got this other place where he's having the affair with Judith. I don't know which one was in which, but... And then... where he lives in about $1 million home, I'm told, and his wife and children live there, and so this is quite a man here, evidently. This guy belongs on one of those farms down there in Lexington, Kentucky, but, you know, he really, but one place I do want to defend, I do want to defend Bernie Kerik. I believe that he was discriminated against. And I really do. His mother was a prostitute. And does this now mean that all the sons of prostitutes can't be the Homeland Security Director? I think they ought not hold that against him, but it seems like they do. But I won't hold that against him, but the other things. Oh, my. But, like I said, those are the Republican values for you. Let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Great.
Have you seen this awful commercial where they have a... this is in Southwest Florida. There's a gated community where you can just see the Republicans heading there in their SUVs, and the whole theme of the commercial is bashing the French.
Really? No, and I haven't seen that.
Right at the end of the commercial, it has a picture of a European man, and it says, oh, it's just like the French Riviera. It's just like France without the French. And I'm telling you, this is what that propaganda machine you're talking about is making us be un-American.
Absolutely.
We don't care if you're from France or what your skin color is. And people are going to call and say, well, Bill, he's got no sense of humor. Well, no, I don't. I don't like ethnic jokes, and I don't like to the extent that we've gone to bash the French. And if you recall, during our battle for independence with going against the British Empire, if we didn't have the French Navy and the French Army, especially the French Navy, we wouldn't even exist. So this is beyond stupid, right into bigotry.
Well, it's absolutely stupid on the foreign relations plane also. I mean, they're an ally. They've always been an ally. And to talk about them the way they do and treat them the way they do, you know, it's... France wasn't the only bunch of people that excoriated Bush for what he did this war. Certainly not.
But how many times on the right-wing programs have you heard a caller say, well, I don't know if that's going to go overseas, and the Sean Hannity or the Limbaugh will immediately say, I don't care what they think. I don't care what they think. That's a mantra, they say.
Yeah.
Well, now that mantra has got our soldiers all alone being killed. Now, is that an American way of going about things? I don't think so.
No, it's reckless. At the very least, it was a reckless policy to go in there the way we did with no help from our good friends. You know, a real statesman could have gotten help if he felt he had to go in. A real statesman would have gotten some help. But
Bush Sr. didn't seem to have a problem doing it because he is a statesman.
Yeah, he was.
On the Social Security, now, Sean Hannity, you were talking about how he doesn't tell the truth. Now, he's even to this day, he's saying that the president is not going to privatize, even when it's so blatantly obvious that that's what he's going to do. The last thing Hannity says was that it wasn't really privatization because it was going to be voluntary. My question is, how does he know it's going to be voluntary? This is being presented just like Star Wars. It's going to cost a lot of money, and it'll work. And there's nothing in the middle. There's no detail to explain how it's going to work because, as far as I'm concerned, it's a fraud, and it's not going to work.
Well, I certainly hope if they do it, it better work better than Star Wars. You see, they had another test this week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
They had to cancel because it was foggy one day. You can only have a Star Wars test if the weather's perfect, you know.
Yeah, so if the people that want to attack us, they just wait to a foggy day and they're in.
And another thing that Rush Limbaugh is always inferring that us poor Democrats, we can't handle money and we need to get the Republicans in there because let's just don't forget that how many billions of dollars of our national debt was paid down by the Bill Clinton administration, and the final 2 years, nothing was taken out of Social Security. A big fat goose egg. Now, my question to you, Guy, what 2 years will George Bush's administration keep their hands off the Social Security money?
What, 2 years?
Yeah.
Slim and none are the chances of that.
Well, we're going to need help from your Republican callers. I hope they'll call in and try to defend what's going on right now.
Well, how do you defend the indefensible?
Exactly. Thanks so much, Guy.
Thank you. Let's go to Alice in Humboldt County, California. Hi, Alice.
Yeah, well, I listened to that. I really like Clint. I really liked him.
Can you speak up a little, Alice?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I really like Clinton, and I like Hillary. And I was hoping that Kerry and Edwards would win, and she would be the first lady president. Well, anyway, what I called about is we need and appreciate your leadership. I'm sure that if you took away those voting machines, Kerry and Edwards won big.
I agree. I feel that way. I just wish we could nail them with it, and so far we're coming up short.
I don't know what we can do.
Well, if it is, like Hillary said, a vast right-wing conspiracy... And first of all, I didn't laugh when she said that. I believed it then, and I believe it even more so now.
I do too. Yeah.
It is vast, and it is a conspiracy. But we're going to have to come up. The Democrats are going to have to come up with the goods, and so far we haven't.
Well, we better get with it.
That's right. Hey, Alice, thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
Good to hear from you out in California.
Good work.
Thank you. You know, the Democrats had better get busy. And, you know, you've heard me say this before. I did not appreciate Tom Daschle all that much. I met Tom and Senator Daschle. I shouldn't call him Tom. I'm not on a first name basis with him, but Senator Daschle is a great guy and actually a tremendous human being. But I never thought he fought hard enough against these type of Republicans we're fighting against right now. We don't have the type of relationship with them that you can be all chummy and let them get their way, because you give them an inch and they're going to take a mile. And I'm not happy with the way the Democrats are behaving right now. They're starting to talk like they're going to let this nomination of Alberto Gonzalez just go sailing through. And if they do that, that's the first step to a runaway freight train to Bush getting everybody he wants to in there, because Alberto Gonzalez, folks, do some research on Alberto Gonzalez. Please do. The man is not fit, absolutely not fit, to be the Attorney General of the United States. He's a scary, scary individual. I suppose, personally, he might be an all right guy, but his views, like on the torture scandals in the prisons, terrible, terrible views. His views when he was Bush's man down in Texas over all these death penalty cases, 52 of them, I believe, he oversaw. And he'd make up just a little 3 to 7 page brief and give it to Bush, and they'd rubber stamp every one of them. Never turned down a one. 52 death penalty cases came in front of Bush, and he never turned down a single one of them. That's hard to believe. But right now we've got the incoming deputy leader of Senate Democrats demanding answers today from Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld as to why U.S. soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan don't have the protective equipment that they need. And it's good to see, very, very good to see him standing up and talking about that to Dick Durbin. Another great guy. My wife and I have met Dick Durbin on a couple of occasions, and he is a fine, fine representative. And he showed some real spine today when he was talking about Donald Rumsfeld. And just to quote a couple things, he said, Congress has given the Bush administration all the defense spending it has requested. Remember that. Yet there are still 3,500 Humvees without protective armor and about 44,000 soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan without adequate body armor, Dick Durbin said. He also said, and I quote, the Pentagon says the lack of protective equipment is a matter of logistics. Durbin said, no, it is not. It is a matter of leadership. Thank you. Thank you, Durbin. Thank you for saying that. Senator Durbin said the most valuable gift American troops received this holiday season may be a soldier's question to Rumsfeld at a town hall meeting in Kuwait this month about why soldiers in Kuwait and Iraq scavenge in junk piles for steel plates to protect their Humvees and trucks. It's a question a lot of us have been asking for some time now, the senator said. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for asking the question, and I want him to stay after him on this. I want him to stay after Rumsfeld until he's gone. Someone has got to show these people that they can't march carte blanche right through and do everything they want to do. You just can't. And the Democrats have got to get some spine. And then we have Bush today on his Saturday radio address, and I thought this was absolutely laughable. Laughable. Bush said, he pledged Saturday not to ignore challenges to the nation's financial health and leave them to another day. Are you kidding? And I quote him. He said, we have a duty to the American people to act on these issues, and we will get results. Oh, my God. Anybody care to tell us what the results are so far? In the radio speech and at this forum Bush was at this week, which is the biggest orchestrated thing I think I've ever seen, Bush and his economic team made a pitch for major second-term priorities such as overhauling Social Security, simplifying the tax code, making previously passed tax cuts permanent, guess for whom? You know, he said, I will work with members of both political parties to confront these problems so that we can keep our economy flexible, innovative, and competitive, and so America remains the best place in the world to do business. But the best comment he made all day long was, I will not ignore these challenges and leave them to another day. Really? We got a $460 billion budget deficit this year, and that does not include these extra military expenditures, and he's not going to leave it for another day? Boy, he's going to have to do some big-time work the next 4 years, isn't he? Certainly is. Let's go to Julius in Fort Myers. Hi, Julius.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Good.
Glad to get on your show. Got a question about this guy talking about our friends, the French.
Mm-hmm.
He brings back the Civil War,
the Revolutionary War.
Revolutionary War, where we needed the French. But I'd like to bring up the Second World War, where the French and the English were pulled off when we invaded Normandy, the Free French Army, the British, and the United States, we all took into France and did our very best.
Yes.
We were greeted with flowers and everything else. And as soon as de Gaulle got there, first thing they did is said, glad to have you helping us on our side, now get out. Even though we had saved their troops in Dunkirk, that's where I'm trying to think of it in the first place. De Gaulle wouldn't let us do anything in France. He said, it's been nice to have you, now get out. So we set up our NATO bases in Germany and other places that were more friendly to us. And with their voting record and the French payoffs in the United Nations, and you have your representative go in the United Nations and say, I don't care what you say, we're voting no. With friends like that, we need no enemies.
Well, should the French have voted with us on this war now that we know how it's going?
I think the French should have voted with it.
But hold on. This is a big, huge mistake, and you think the rest of them should have gone along with this mistake?
Is this a mistake to the point that Saddam Hussein is not in power there?
So what? He's not in power. Was he a threat to America? Was he a threat to the world? No, answer me. Was he a threat to the world? He wasn't even a threat to his neighbors. He had been totally declawed. Every nation around him had a bigger military expenditure list than he did. Now, the guy had nothing. Nothing. We proved that when we went in there. He was a threat to nobody.
Yes, and what he was trying to do was bluff.
Bluff? So what? So the French should have gone along with us and then got some of their people killed on this bluff?
Didn't he did? Didn't he expel all the UN inspectors? Wouldn't let them go where they wanted
to go? Oh no! He expelled them, but when it got down to brass tacks, he invited them back in, and then Bush said, "No, sir, we're going to war." Now I know Scott Ritter. I know one of these people very well that inspected, and they said they knew damn well those weapons weren't there. They knew they weren't there. I mean, this was a mistake, and how can you fault Russia, Germany, and the French for not going along with the huge mistake? They're the ones that look smart in this deal. We're the ones that look like the fools.
We're the ones that look like the fools.
Absolutely, we look like the fools. Our prestige around the world has taken a terrible hit because of this war.
It hasn't taken any more hits than it's just become more obvious. The same people that we were fighting before and didn't like us less now. What the hell?
Now, I got news for you. We can't live in this world by ourselves anymore. We need our friends. And for Bush just to trash all those people over this huge mistake of his. You know, his statesmanship in this thing has been abysmal. He's been the worst statesman that we have had in the past 104 years that I know of, trying to get help with projects that he had going on around the world. He can't get any help. Why? Because he's not capable. And we were wrong in this. They knew we were wrong. Even the English know that we were wrong, but
6 million popular vote. Then, I mean, this guy isn't in there just because, you know, it was a mistake over in Miami.
He won by 3.5 million votes. So is that a big group, a big number?
That's a decisive number.
It is. It's like
better than 671.
51.5% to 48.8%, something like that. That's a decisive victory.
Well,
I'll tell you why he won. He didn't win because he's any kind of a president at all. He won because of the Republican propaganda machine that put this little puppet, George Bush, up on a pedestal and made him out to be something he wasn't.
Are you telling me that the New York Times is a Republican paper?
What has that got to do with anything?
No, you're saying the media.
How many people on this station you're listening to right now? How many right-wing programs are on this station you're listening to right now? How many are on the other stations in this area? Tell me that. How many? There's about 150 hours of right-wing radio program in this very area you live in right now. You know how many are on the liberal side? Three. Don't you give me that crap about them not owning the media. They own it lock, stock, and barrel. And if you are a fool, you are an absolute fool if you try and deny that. Only a complete moron would try and deny a thing like that. My God. Let's go to a break right now. Jeez.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Presenting great moments in FirstGov.gov history. For years, Americans have turned to FirstGov.gov for their government information. 2000, Mrs. Marilyn Gorman takes online government to new heights, applying for Social Security benefits before breakfast.
And got them. Okay, who wants pancakes?
2002, in what later became known as the download heard round the world, the Duggins of Wichita print their own passport applications in their underwear.
Honey, get dressed. Looks like we're going to Luxembourg.
And 2004, FirstGov.gov astounds Anna Maria Montero of Biloxi by promptly answering all her emails, no matter how often she asks a question about the government.
Sure, the U.S. government can get back to me every time, but that son of mine, huh.
Make your own great moment. Log on today, FirstGov.gov. It's government made easy.
We are people of all ages, from different walks of life. We have hopes and dreams, but live in a reality filled with pain. We are the family and friends of alcoholics, and our lives are controlled by someone else's drinking. We may be different, but we have one thing in common. We want our lives back. If you need help, call Al-Anon and Alateen at 1-888-4-ALANON or visit our website. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, help me. Somebody help me. I got to double up on the blood pressure medicine. When I get calls like, I'll tell you what, you know that last caller, he asked me, and I'll try to paraphrase what he said, then why did George Bush get elected by 3.5 million votes? Because there was 59 million people just as stupid as you are. That's why. Maybe not all of them were stupid, maybe only about half of them. The other half are indoctrinated for one reason or another, and maybe innocently, you know, their family's been Republican all their lives, and they wouldn't be able to go to Thanksgiving dinner with them anymore if they, you know, talked against the president or something like that. But the main reason the man got elected, because there were enough fools like that last caller that voted for him, that bought the, that drank the Kool-Aid, chugged it, man. I mean, chugged it down all the while. You go, oh, yeah, George Bush, what a guy. What a guy, that George Bush. Oh. You know, someone sent me a little list of things to do before the inauguration. And I think this list is supposed to be funny, and in some ways it is, but it's awfully serious at the same time. And I'm not going to go through the whole 40 or so reasons of things we ought to do before the inauguration. But just some of the things you need to do before this inauguration. Drink a nice clean glass of water, because it may be your last chance. See a doctor of your own choosing. That might be a good thing to do. Visit Syria, or any other foreign country for that matter. Borrow books from the library before they're banned. Books like constitutional law books, Catcher in the Rye, Harry Potter, Tropic of Cancer, etc., etc. Take a factory tour any place in the United States. You might want to do that. You talk about an endangered species? Oh, man. Jam in all the Alzheimer's stem cell research you can before this. And visit Nevada before it comes radioactive. So there's just some of the things that you need to do before the inauguration or the coronation, whatever we want to call it. Let's go to Connie in Cape Coral. Hi, Connie.
Hey, how are you, Guy?
Good.
I just, you know, hearing that last gentleman, you know, he's so typical of the people that listen
so
to Rush
typical.
And I just wonder, you know, I mean, I don't think he's probably any more intelligent than I am, but why can I read between the lines so easily? It's all there if you want to look and see exactly what's going on. And everybody else is so blind. It drives me crazy. I'm the one that listens to Rush Limbaugh constantly to just hear what he's saying to people, because I can't believe that he could have so much power. I can clearly hear the propaganda techniques and tools that he uses.
Oh, he's good at it.
He's excellent. And what the left, I don't like to call us the left, I mean, what the Democrats need to do is to figure out, you know, the whole thing is that they've distilled it to a fine point. Everybody used the techniques and finely honed tools to do Bush's election. So they had an agenda, they had a topic, they distilled their sentences, everybody was uniform, everybody at their convention was uniform, all the speeches had a theme, they were one solid solidarity of, you know, of an image of control, and they know how to use linguistics, they touch on things that are subversive propaganda tools that I can't believe common man can't see through. And if we don't point this out to people and make it apparent to them to take off the veil, I don't know where we're headed. And yes, the country scares me to death. You know, the things that I read and the things that I see, you know, the things he's just passed through the Intel bill that got slammed in, that nobody read, that passed. I'm wondering where this country is going to. I'm wondering how long I'll want to talk on the phone about anything to anybody about what I'm seeing or what I'm reading for fear that somebody's going to knock on my door.
Oh, it'll happen.
Cart me away. I know that it's going to happen. I'm watching it happen. And I don't know what to do. What can common man, what can I do? What can my friends do? I just met people at a little gathering where this girl handed me some tapes, you know, books on tape, and she's as sick as I am. I mean, it's no joke about that election depression. I've had days I just don't know what end is up, and I don't know what to do.
Well, you know, Connie, it's tough because there are none so blind as those who will not see, and we've got millions and millions of Americans who will not see. You can put the truth right in front of them, and they're not gonna buy it. But here's the problem, and as you know, we Democrats are, and those of us on the left, or even in the center left, whatever you want to call us, we're an unwieldy group. I mean, here we had an election going on in November, and as late as October, many Democrats were still arguing over who should have been the nominee.
I know.
We couldn't even come together on that. Look at all the people who said, well, I'll vote for Kerry, but you don't hear the Republicans acting that way.
No, because they're of one mindset and very well distilled. And they bully also.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
Now, Rush used to allow an occasional Democrat on his show. He hardly allows that anymore. And it seems like shouting is the ilk. You know, be it any one of those, Hannity or any one of those guys, they, you know, over-talk, talk down, deride, and now hardly even allow on anybody that speaks the... They used to allow people on. They hardly do anymore.
Oh, there was a woman on Hannity's show yesterday that ate him alive. I don't know how she got on, but she had him cornered for like 10 minutes, and when it was all over, you know, he was saying how crazy she was, but she was good. She was really good.
See, the only thing I really think, one thing I think we can do, instead of fighting in like kind and like mindset, is to unveil. You know, just to completely open up the propaganda for what it is. You know, because I don't know what else to do to wake people up. Because if we fight in like kind, it's just going to be us versus them. It's going to be a power
struggle. You're right, Connie, and the answer is truth. Mm-hmm. The answer is truth, and the answer is more shows like this one. We've got
Definitely.
To do a better job in the media. We've got to stick together better. But truth, truth, and more truth is the answer. Connie, you got to move on.
Thank
you so much for your call.
Okay,
sure.
Bye-bye.
Let's go on over to who are we going to talk to. We're going to talk to Fred in Fort Myers. Hi, Fred.
Hey, guy. How you doing?
Good.
Kind of funny. Your last caller just made me think something about talking and shouting people down. The last guy you disagreed with sounded like you got a little loud with.
I did. He turned my crank real good.
Yeah, and inferring that he was a moron.
He was. He was a moron.
But anyway, you made me think about something I'd never thought of before when you were talking about Saddam Hussein kicking the inspectors out. And he said, "Oh yeah, you know, you kicked them out, but then you let them right back in." And did he not kick them out or deny them access like 18 times
yeah.
in the last 10
yeah,
years or whatever?
He did, yeah.
Well, yeah, it made me think, you know, if he had nothing to hide, why would he turn world opinion against himself by kicking inspectors out? If he had no weapons to hide, what would his reasoning be?
First of all, he already had weapons. He already had the whole world against him, so that's a given right there. Secondly, did we find the weapons?
No, that doesn't mean they weren't there, though.
Let me tell you, it does mean they weren't there. And if you think they were, you just don't have a grasp of what went on there.
Okay,
now,
we've had a
guest on this program a couple of times, Mr. Scott Ritter, who did work for UNSCUM. Everybody in UNSCUM knew damn well that there weren't any weapons there. So as I've explained before, please use your logic on this.
Okay.
We've got the U.S. Army with all its might sitting across the border in Kuwait, ready to attack Saddam Hussein, and he's got weapons of mass destruction. He knows no matter what, once the United States troops come across that border, he's dead meat. There's no doubt about it. He's
okay,
done.
He knows that.
Would he not use those weapons of mass destruction, or would he save them for a rainy day?
Okay, well, let's go back in time before that.
No, we don't need to go back down. He's got the weapons. You said he had the weapons. If he had the weapons, why didn't he use them?
Okay, you talk about logic. What is the logic in kicking out inspectors if you have nothing to hide?
Because he didn't want to be pushed around anymore by the other countries. The man had his pride. No matter how misguided he was, he had his pride.
He invaded Kuwait. Is that just some helpless little dictator?
But he couldn't invade him again. He didn't have the might to do it.
It just sounds funny to hear someone like you defending Saddam Hussein.
I am not defending Saddam Hussein. I'm defending the American soldiers. Anybody who thinks at this point, anybody who thinks that there were weapons of mass destruction in that country, just it's pure fantasy.
Okay, then tell me your logic. Why he would boot out inspectors when he had nothing to hide?
Because the man had his foolish pride. He really didn't think it would happen.
No,
he really didn't think it would happen.
Opinion,
but wouldn't he use the weapon? If he had weapons, for what reason would a man have weapons of mass destruction if he didn't use them?
If he had no weapons, he would say, "I have nothing to hide. Inspect me till you're blue in the face." But no, he didn't.
No, Saddam Hussein was a pariah who loved causing as much trouble as possible. He was a fly in the ointment. He knew it. He had a lot of fun making the United States and other places work as hard as possible to get at him. There was no doubt about that. If he had the weapons, why didn't he use them? Why?
Well, why?
Tell me why he didn't use them. Why?
Because if he used them, then the whole world would, of course, turn against him, saying,
"Oh, come on! Now you're showing your own foolishness." Now the whole world would be against him. The whole world was already against him. Who are you trying to kid here? Who do you think you're talking to? The whole world would be against Saddam Hussein. They already hated his ass.
Okay.
All of them hated him.
Did France, who was getting the $1 million payoffs for their high government...
None of that matters. If he had weapons of mass destruction, he would have used them on the United States military. We knew he didn't have them, or our troops never would have gone in to face weapons of mass destruction. It's that simple. It is that simple. How can you...
Across without being shouted down?
You're not making any sense.
Okay, well, can I get my point out before you...
You don't have a point, my man. You don't have a point. Anybody at this point who thinks there were weapons of mass destruction in that country isn't dealing with reality.
Hmm.
Why do you refuse reality? Now, listen, Cheney has said they weren't there. Cheney has said they weren't there. Condoleezza Rice has said they weren't there. Bush has said they weren't there.
Cheney, when he said that, you say you only talk about facts. Where was he when he said that? Where's your proof that you found on the internet of that?
Oh God! Now you're going to deny what your own people... Do you deny that George Bush himself has said that they didn't have weapons of mass destruction, that it was a mistake? Do you deny that? This conversation is going to be real short unless you answer that question. Do you deny that George Bush himself said the weapons weren't there, it was a mistake?
I have not heard that. Tell me.
Goodbye. Another idiot. I guess they're going to come out of the woodwork. See, right there. How much do I have to say? What more can I say? There's a guy right there that you could get George Bush himself to sit down at this table with him and say, "Hey, bud, Let me tell you a secret. There were no weapons of mass destruction there. I knew it. Everybody knew it. And this guy's going to sit there and say, I don't think so, Mr. President. I mean, that's how stupid these people are. And why would you call here? Somebody help me understand that. Why would you delude yourself on that? Why would you do that? Why would you live in fantasy land? Why would you do the old Jim Jones thing and just buckets of Kool-Aid? I'm fascinated by it. I really am. Don't get me wrong in this, folks. Those callers like that right there, they are a study in I don't want to go ahead and say what I was going to say. I'll temper that remark. Let's go to Scott in Port Charlotte.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Speak up a little, Scott.
Sure. How's that?
Good.
Okay, listen. This guy who just spoke to you is typical of why this idiot won the election.
Very typical.
I'm not being as nice as you are. These kind of people scare me because basically they're saying, I'm right and you're wrong, and I don't care what information you gave me. I don't really care. I'm right and you're wrong.
I don't really care is the answer. You're exactly right, Scott.
Now, I'd like to clear up something. When a while back, when Michael Powell was asked what he's going to do about that Sinclair group, I'm sure you saw Bill Maher's last night.
Oh, yeah.
And fundamentally, what Michael Powell said, that is freedom of speech. My friend, it is not freedom of speech, because the last time I investigated this thing, there is an equality supposed to take place. Now, by what law is the airways being completely ignored to fair and equal time by Limbaugh, Hannity, and all these other people? Because that's not what's supposed to be. Do you recall what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes.
These people are coming up with a renewal of licenses. And anybody can call up and write in and say, you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing. There should be a human car in a house in the Senate right now saying, this is what's going on. Let's fix it. We're not hearing it. Why?
Oh, you know, they're living in fantasy land, but they know they can get away with it. They know that Michael Powell is going to stand up for anything they want to do. They know that. Clear Channel can buy all the stations in America, as far as he's concerned. Clear Channel and Sinclair can split them up. There can be no person from the left side on the air, as far as he's concerned, and that's a fact.
But are not they not violating the Communication Act?
Well, when the Fairness Doctrine was abandoned, I believe it was in 1988, that was just about the end of that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ronald Reagan, right before Ronald Reagan got that done, and I'll tell you what, the thing I'm ashamed of, the Democrats controlled the Congress when the Fairness Doctrine. They didn't think it was going to be important. They didn't understand the fact that there were hundreds of rich Republicans behind the scenes forming this cabal that they got now to own the media. They didn't understand that was happening. It happened right underneath their noses, and it was the Democrats who allowed it to happen. We could have stopped it, and we made no move to stop it.
That is why people like you have got to keep doing what you're doing. The 1996 redoing of the FCC was a joke. The airways belong to the people. They don't belong to private organizations.
That's right. Hey, Scott, I got to move on. Thank you for your call.
Have a good one. Thank you.
You brought up an important point, that's for sure. Let's head on over to... Where are we going to head on over to right now? We're going to head on over to Mike at Fort Myers Beach. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon, guy.
Hi.
I had to call in and sort of support you a little bit on your defense against that guy trying to apply logic as to why Saddam Hussein wouldn't allow inspectors in. I think he probably was applying the same amount of logic that the United States government was refusing to allow international inspection teams in here to cover our election. It's a matter of national pride. It's a matter of doing all kinds of secret things behind the scene. Whatever you want to do, you just don't want to allow someone else to come in. It's sort of like an arrogance, and that's exactly an arrogance of power.
It's your sovereignty.
Sure, sure it is. And it's just ridiculous for this guy to try to make this point and say, now this is the answer to why we can prove just by this little sleight of hand of his version of logic about why we know that there were, you know, weapons of mass destruction there. I supported this war just for that one reason alone, the big lie that was told that there were weapons of mass destruction there and that they knew where they were and that they were going to go get them as soon as we, you know, everyone signed on to it, and we all did. And it turned out it was a big lie. I don't know why people won't accept that. In fact, the people that have said it in the beginning have already admitted it.
Oh, and some of the tales they tell said, well, they moved them out in a huge convoy into Syria. Now look, we got spy satellites that can and do read a newspaper from outer space, and they're going. they're going to lead us to believe that there was this big convoy of weapons of mass destruction going out of the country to Syria. Oh, please! It's just, you know, no matter what you bring up to them, I mean, they just deny it. Yeah, you know the old thing when you know a little kids, they stuck their fingers in your ear and went la 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 la. When people, that's what they do.
I think that's kind of what's going on, guy. And I think there's another example. It sort of hurt my. It gave me a little bit of pain when you were calling them idiots, because actually I have members of my family who are believing this.
Well, I did put a caveat on there, say they're not all idiots.
You know, I mean, what it is, there is this sort of ditto head mentality of they'll believe anything that supports their ideology. And what I wanted to get at was the ideology is that what's happening right now in our Christian community, the corruption of the leaders of a great majority of the churches in this country. And I'm not sure whether or not whether this is an ethical thing to propose or not, but I think I'm going to do it anyway, and I think that people need to start standing up in church and demanding that if your church leaders are going to break the law and stand up there and play politics from the pulpit, that you at least have the right to democracy. In other words, you need to at least allow an opposing point of view instead of standing up there each Sunday and talking about sins that can be attributable only to liberals and Democrats. Also, have equal time to sermonize about sins that are attributable to Republicans and conservatives.
Absolutely.
And it is not. And I'm thinking that people ought to form little groups and stand up and shout down during the sermon in front of the congregation of the preacher as he is delivering his sermon.
Well, I hope people get the nerve to do that. Hey, Mike, I got to move on. I got others
Thanks
waiting.
For taking
Thank
my
you
phone
so much
guy.
For your call.
Bye.
Let's head on over to Fort Myers to Brandon. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, guy. Thanks for taking my call. Just curious, where can I find the rest of that 40 things to do before inauguration?
Oh, good question. I got it in an email. Let me see here. There's a tag. Now, the only thing I've got on it is who I got it from, and I can't give you the email address over there.
Would you be able to post it on your website by chance?
Possibly. I tell you what, leave your email with our board up here, and I will send it to you.
Fantastic. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Keep doing what you're doing, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll get his number there. And let me see. I think I lost a caller right there. Might have. Thought we had Bob in St. Paul. Bob in St. Paul? Not there right now. Hey, this show wouldn't be complete without talking about one crazy old coot that I just had to mention today. And that's Zell Miller. Zell Miller's the latest Benedict Arnold of politics, and he's been invited by the American Conservative Union to present the Courage Under Fire Award to the Swift Boat Veterans Liars Group at their annual convention. Isn't that a heartwarming story? The American Conservative Union, Zell Miller, and the Swift Boat Liars Group. Now, there's a witch's brew right there if I ever heard of one. You know, here we have a guy who made his living over several decades being a Democrat. He was a big Clinton backer, but when it looked like he could, you know, make some hay by switching over to Bush, he didn't hesitate for a moment. The guy is morally and ethically bankrupt. He runs as a Democrat and then betrays everything the Democratic Party stands for. You know, there's been people change parties before, but never, never in the fashion that he did. And actually, he didn't change party. He says he's still a Democrat. I think the Democrats don't have any spine because they should have really gone after this guy and told him they don't want him in the party anymore. And believe you me, I would do that. If I'd have been Tom Daschle, I'd have gone on the Senate floor and said, I want this guy out of my party. I mean, probably couldn't force him out, but I'd let everybody know what I thought of him. But, you know, moreover, is this guy even, is he even sane enough to be speaking in public? You know, is he sane enough to be addressing the American Conservative Union? Do you remember? Think about this. Think back to the convention, the Republican convention. Do you remember the maniacal look on his face when he was given his best Adolf Hitler impression during the Republican Hate Fest? Do you remember that night? Man, I had chills. I thought the crazy old coot was going to explode. And then when he told Chris Matthews he'd like to challenge him to a duel, that really sealed the deal for me. The guy's nuts. You know, that showed me he's not mentally competent. He really isn't, and if he ever was in the first place. I never had any love for Zell Miller. You know, surely no one takes this guy seriously. Well, maybe nobody except Roger Ailes. I guess you heard of Roger. Well, Roger hired that nutcase, Zell Miller, from Georgia to work for Fox News now. You know, there's a marriage made in heaven, Zell Miller and Fox News. Let's see now. Thinking about Roger Ailes, you know, he's a Rush Limbaugh fame. He's the one that got Rush to where he is today. So he's a genius when it comes to promoting people. But, you know, he's head of Fox News now, and he's got old goofy Zell Miller. He's got the sexual deviant Bill O'Reilly and Mr. Footsie pervert Dick Morris. I'm trying to think of who else. You know what I'm talking about there, don't you? Oh, yeah. That's a real team. That is a real team. A team that all of the morally righteous Republicans follow with great enthusiasm. Remember when everybody is excoriating Bill Clinton for his slip? Remember that? Oh, he's ruining the country. The morals of this country are going down the drain. The kids will be having sex in the streets and at the mall, and all because of Bill Clinton has set this terrible example for the American kids. But we got Bill O'Reilly, who's an out-and-out pervert that paid off millions of dollars to a lady to shut up, and Mr. Footsie, Dick Morris, working, and let's not forget Mr. Drug Junkie himself, Rush Limbaugh. All these people still got their jobs, are still making piles of money, and they do all have something in common. They have two things in common. Not one thing in common for sure. They're all Republicans. And, you know, that's right, they are Republicans, and the family values people take their marching orders from a bunch of losers I just described. Go figure. I wish somebody would tell me. I actually get tickled when I think about that. I do. And then, you know, don't forget, we got Bill Slots Bennett, Mr. Slot Machine himself. Oh, man. Hey, I don't want any of you to forget. This is our last program at this time slot on the station. Now, we're on 1200 here now, and we're going to be moving to a couple of our sister stations. Same company, different stations, okay? We're going to be moving over to WNOG 1240, let me get it straight, to WINK, WINK 1240, or to WNOG 1270. All right, we got Naples and Fort Myers all up and down the coast covered with that. We're going to be at 10 p.m. on Saturday night. And I think it's going to be good for a lot of 7 to 10 p.m. on Saturday evening. And it's going to be a good time slot. A lot of folks working during the day on Saturday. Of course, we're Democrats. A lot of the Democrats have to work on Saturday, so they'll be able to hear the show in the evening. For you Internet listeners, we'll be the same place, but just a different time, from 7 to 10 p.m. on Saturday evening. We're excited about the move. I'm very, very positive about it. I think it's going to have good repercussions for this program, and hopefully for you. And I do want to thank everybody who has helped keep this program on the air over the last couple of years. You folks are very dear to me. You mean a lot to me. You've somehow kept this program going over the last couple of years when, as we've told you before, there was quite a little group of folks that did get us off the air by any means necessary. And they've tried and they've failed, and we have persevered, and you have persevered by continuing to support the program, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. You know, we're at the holiday season, and we've just gone through Hanukkah, and we have Christmas coming up. And I want to wish all of you folks, no matter what your faith, a great and wonderful holiday season, whether it be Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever your stripes happen to be. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season with you and yours, and get the fullest meaning out of this season for you, whatever that may be. And I'm not being politically correct here. I will say Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to all our friends, and any of you, the folks be celebrating Kwanzaa soon, wish you the very best for that. But we wish the best for all of our listeners and for their holiday. Holiday times mean family. And no matter which of those holidays that you are celebrating, I do wish from all of us here at the Guy James Show the very best. And I want to thank Biz for being faithful and helping this program for all the time. For the past year, we've been here at WPTK. Biz has run the board and taken callers, and she's done a wonderful job. So thanks very much. We'll see you again January the 8th at 7 to 10 on our two new stations. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Thanks for listening.
The Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive Producer, Gene Charles. Research Director, Michael Merrick. Production Manager, Frank Princeton. Program Coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication.